Good evening.
Good evening, and welcome to
Geek Brunch.
Geek Brunch after dark.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Today is my anniversary.
Yes.
And I am podcasting. Thanks to my lovely wife for letting me podcast.
Yes.
On this auspicious occasion.
How have you been? We haven't talked in a while.
I know.
You were available last weekend, but I wasn't. And Micah, I guess, wasn't because he never replied, right?
Micah never replies to us anymore.
Micah is going to be on today, I think. He's sewing.
Sewing?
He's going to say, let me know when you are ready.
That's right. He has to sew those kimonos before he goes over to Japan.
I thought it was a sumo.
A sumo.
Sumo diaper. Diaper. That's what I thought he was sewing.
That could be. Oh, that's what's under the kimono. You have a diaper, then a kimono.
He takes the kimono off, and then he's got the diaper.
Yeah, he's ready to go, ready to rock.
I hope he trained well for that sumo wrestling.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the videos, though.
You put the foot down, and then you clap your
thighs, right?
Thigh, yeah. And then you put the other foot down and clap your other thigh. And then I think you attack, right? You
attack with your belly.
Yeah. So he's got to gain some weight or he doesn't stand a chance.
He might be in trouble. I don't know if he prepared.
They'll toss him around like a rag doll.
One bounce and he'll be gone out of the ring.
That's right.
But I know he has been working on his Tai Chi and his Kung Fu.
So he's prepared?
He's prepared. Well, you have to know that stuff to survive the subways.
I hear they do a lot of grab ass in the subway.
I don't think it's... Yeah, I don't think it's avoidable because you're, like, crammed in there. I think he's been practicing
standing
still. But
I don't
still.
Think being a woman or a man is safe. I think you
Your
have...
Your ass is going to get grabbed?
Yeah, and I think you're expected to grab back.
Hey, you had to keep your hands at your sides at ass level. Palms out.
Palms out and just move your fingertips back and forth.
Yeah, just gently. Because you don't want to go for an aggressive squeeze, just a little nice.
Yeah, just a little bit. Too bad he's not here to hear this.
Yeah, just how you doing kind of.
Yell at us.
Internet problem.
He'll shake his head.
It says internet problem. Then I click on it. The internet speed between you is fast.
Oh, you're having internet problems?
Not anymore.
Well, I was recording retro, and man, we had like 5 outages, man.
I kept disconnecting.
That was a lot. That was like a record.
Were you recording? I should verify that you're recording.
Yes, I am recording. We have 3 minutes and 51 seconds right now.
All
right.
And you've been listening to Geek Brunch.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 1... Two.
What? 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. We'd like to thank you for listening. Hey, so I get Savage Dragon in the in trades.
Yeah.
But he doesn't put all the issues in trades.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's why I tell Son you of... that trades suck. And I'll tell you it again. Just get the singles and treat them as a trade like me.
Just read them in bulk.
Yeah.
So now I have to get some issues of Savage Dragon.
Which ones did you miss?
I don't know. I haven't written. Let me.
Oh, so you have like one volume and another volume and they're not consecutive?
Yeah. At one point, he like skips some issues. Let me see if I can find it. Savage...
You could buy those essentials or those big ass Savage.
I have a couple of those, but they're not black and white, so I mean, they're black and white, and I prefer the color.
Have your kids color them. They can learn a valuable trade. You want to be a comic book colorist?
I don't have it written down. What the heck? I thought I had it written down. Oh, my system is failing me. Wait. I think I know where it is. Nope.
Your system. I don't
My
even think you
system is
have a.
fit.
I don't think anybody could decipher your system except for yourself,
That's not
which
true.
is okay. It's like in code.
Yeah, that's right. So no one will ever know what
Yeah,
comics I have and what I don't have.
figure it out.
That's the security.
Yes.
Oh, I can't find. Now I gotta make a note to myself. Note to self.
Oh, that might be Micah.
Okay, we'll pull on Micah while I'm making a note.
All
Note,
right.
Sav, Dre. Hey! Skype just took my focus.
What do you mean Skype just took your focus? What are you talking about?
I was typing a note in Notepad, and Skype took the focus.
Wow, you sound Sandy.
Micah Sandy.
I'm Sandy.
It's a lot of like.
Oh, hold on.
He's doing something. Someone's doing something in the background.
Sewing.
There's a fan.
Frying.
Frying an egg in the background.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, the fan was on, so now I'm going to turn into a puddle of sweat.
Just
Can you
go naked. That's what we do.
just put on your sumo diaper?
Yeah, we were just talking about that. We
Ah.
were talking that you were sewing, and you thought you were sewing your sumo's diaper.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
Not gonna sumo wrestle?
No.
Just remember, put your foot down and then clasp your knee. Put the other foot
Slap your
down, slap
thigh.
your thigh. You'll be ready to go.
Won't have to worry about that.
Except you'd be tossed like a rag doll, man.
No,
If
I'm
you
not
went
going to
into a
sumo wrestle.
sumo, you'd
You'll
be a.
probably go to some sumo wrestling events, though.
Probably not.
Why wouldn't you? You gotta experience everything, right?
No, there's not a ton of experience to everything. It's only a year.
Well, there's enough time to
You can fit in
experience.
a lot of sumo wrestling in a
Do you
year.
think you're gonna be overcome with like studying?
Probably.
Yeah. You think that's gonna take up like a good, is it a regular like college type
Yeah.
class, or is
Yeah.
it like more hours a week than
No,
usual?
it's like real college. But they do more study in Japan than they do here and stuff, so it'll be
But
intensive.
is it 5 days a week, or is it one of the weekend? It does. But do you have like a lot of our college classes are like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesdays and Thursdays for an hour and a half? Is that what it's like, or is it all 5 days?
Well, it depends on what the class is. Some are 5 days for shorter times, some are different times. So yeah.
So you got 2 weeks left? Wow, it's just around the corner. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
That's gonna be like a lot of cultural shock because you don't know nobody, right? Like there's.
Nope, I do have friends there now,
Oh,
so
do you?
yeah.
People you went to school with, or somebody that you've known over the interwebs, or people you really know?
No, there's we had this intensive course, and a bunch of students from the school I'm going to were involved in it as well, and so I got to meet them for 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I will know some people when I go over there.
For the whole time you're there or just
Yeah,
initially?
I mean
Okay.
they're just regular students, so they were here for like a 3 week thing. Two of those weeks I hung out with them, and then yeah, they're just regular students, so I'll see them when I go back. I go over there.
Did you have some connections?
Lost in translation. So what were you doing, Bill? You said before. I forgot what we were talking about.
Don't remember.
Oh, we were talking about your system.
On my system, my failing system. So it
Yeah.
looks like issues 82 through 138 are not collected.
Oh, that's a lot.
I know.
I
Was he
told you
like,
to buy the single issues.
When did you never told me that?
I always tell you that. I tell you that every day.
I kind of wish I had all the single issues of Savage Dragon.
Yeah. Did you get Kung Fu Bible?
I have ordered it. I have not received it.
Ah, gosh, it was awesome looking. I haven't read it yet, but it's awesome. It's like a Treasury Edition sized book. It has a lot of Eric Larson art in it. It has some Scholey art in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a couple other people.
That was a San Diego exclusive, right?
Yeah. I think you'll love it because you like Eric Larson a lot. And you like Scholey. So.
Yeah, I like Scholey. And I might like the other guys, whoever they might be.
You might.
There's a knock on my door. Yes?
You rang.
Just get
some of those cheese things out of the cabinet. The cheese fish. Yeah, get them out. Eat them.
Just eat the Oreo. Just grab a box of Oreos and eat those.
And while you're there...
Don't tell your mother.
Go play Minecraft, but don't use YouTubes.
No cheats. You can play video games, no cheats.
Yeah. You got to learn to get there on your own.
Back in the old days, we didn't have cheats.
We didn't. I mean, we towards the tail end, they had those magazines you could buy, but I never bought them. I fought through it or said, screw this game. I ain't going to figure it out.
I don't think 2600 had any cheats, did it?
No.
It was until Nintendo.
I think it was until Nintendo.
Actually, you could just break those games, though, so...
What do you could throw them against the wall?
I mean, like, a lot of the programming was very loose, and so...
Yeah, but we didn't have anything to access the programming back in the day.
Not in 20, but you did on other systems. Maybe not on the Atari, but, like, on the Commodore and on those things, you could.
It was a cartridge, man. How do you hack into the cartridge?
Same what you did on the NES and stuff.
I don't know. I never learned.
Well, for the NES, didn't you... They sold like things that plugged in, and then you plugged in the cartridge into the thing, right?
Yeah, but sometimes some things you didn't have to do for that, like
what was that device called?
Game Genie.
Yeah, Game Genie. That's it.
Yeah.
But when you played Space Invaders, you had to kill all those Space Invaders. You couldn't cheat your way out of that.
Yeah, Galaxian, you couldn't cheat. How could you cheat?
Pac-Man, you couldn't really cheat, but I think there's some patterns you could follow.
Well, there's one pattern.
One pattern per screen.
So that you could get from the magazines.
I mean, actually, there's one way to play Galaga. It's Galaga. Yeah, Galaga. But it's not hard to figure out about where to be and when to shoot every single time. And you just keep going for a long time.
Over again.
That's a different style game, but like with stuff like Pitfall and things, there's ways to like cheat your way into extra lives and all that kind of stuff too. So,
why would you want to cheat?
Because you want to complete the game, and those old games are busted.
You can't cheat in real life.
Yeah, actually, you can, but
you go to jail.
No, you won't.
Yeah, you will.
No, you won't.
Good.
Not if you're good.
Not if you're certain people. Not everybody goes to jail.
You go to jail.
No, not if you're white.
It's clearly not actually true. People out here cheating all the time, not in jail.
Yep. You just got to own a corporation, then you can do whatever the hell you want.
Well, Chris was telling me about a movie called Bling Ring, and it's about a bunch of young kids that were breaking into homes of the rich while they were out, and they didn't even go to jail that long. They stole a lot of shit, man. I think one went to jail for 3 months.
Are those the ones that like rob celebrities, right?
Yeah.
Of course, their daddy's probably paid for good lawyers. Weren't they like rich kids?
Mm-hmm.
They were rich kids robbing rich people.
Yep.
Yeah, they're not going to go to jail for very long.
And I think they even got some reality TV shows. I don't know.
Yeah, no doubt they made money off of it somehow. Or they're going to have books or something. Well, they got that movie, I guess. I don't know if they get money off the movie, though, do they?
I have no idea. I don't think they use the real names or the real... I don't know much about it other than it was what Chris told me. It's not a movie I would be interested in watching unless I was forced to. So what's going on, Micah? What have you been up to? You able to do anything? Or is it just mostly getting ready?
Mostly getting ready. Lots of prep work, paperwork. I had to find a fax machine at one point in time.
Have you read any comic books?
Yeah.
To prepare for this trip?
No, nothing.
Manga? They're not comic books, Mike. They're manga.
Manga. Have you done any anime or manga to prepare for this?
I'm just eating lunch.
What are you eating?
Sushi.
Rice.
Oh,
there you go.
Sticky rice?
No.
I like sticky rice. I am a fan of sticky rice. Just that we don't know how to make it.
You need a rice cooker.
We've used that rice cooker. It makes it dry and
no, you're doing wet. It wrong.
Dry and wet.
Yeah, I want it.
Wait, dry and wet?
I like when it.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe he means that there's still water in there and the rice is crunchy.
Oh, that would be bad.
That means it's not cooked enough.
I don't know.
Done incorrectly.
I don't think it's possible. I've only seen it.
I've done it.
Sticky rice.
Yeah.
Where you could actually just pick up a ball of it?
Yeah, a whole ball of it.
Ah.
In a rice cooker. You put any vinegar in
there?
It gets
altitude then.
Yeah, it might have something to do with it.
It's possible. You guys are really high up there.
Yeah.
And we have extra added air humidity to help things get sticky by themselves anyway.
Yeah, you just let it sit for a little bit. And
yeah, it'll just stick to you.
Not only that, but then you get sticky.
Absolutely. Like everybody's sticky.
You're getting sticky right now because we made you turn off your fan.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what the temperature is going to be like when you get there.
The same.
Very high humidity.
Mm-hmm.
What's the altitude?
Hot.
Water.
Near the ocean.
Yeah. It's right on the ocean.
So school's not up in a mountain or anything?
No.
That'd be awesome.
I'm right in the middle of Tokyo.
Nice. You can go to all the anime museums.
What's the best way to get a hold of you, Micah?
I won't even know until I get there.
Ah.
Sat phone?
Oh, yeah, sat phone. That'll be the way to do it.
Probably do they have cell phone coverage there?
Yeah. I would just use T-Mobile.
Oh, that was
there.
Funny. They have technology in Japan, right?
Nope.
They have big technology. They got those vending machines where you can get whatever you want from them.
Well, I found out that some of those machines aren't real.
What do you mean they're not real?
There's one of them that serves hot dinners. It is literally a restaurant in the back and it looks like a vending machine, but there's people back there cooking the food and they send it out to you so you get a hot meal.
That's awesome.
Well, the food has to come from somewhere.
It's not
weird. Expected
some. I was hoping it's some kind of terrible prepackaged thing, but it's actually apparently good food. That's unfortunate.
That's actually better for you, right?
I'm jealous. I was hoping that it was going to be something terrifying. Have you guys seen the pizza machine?
No.
It actually makes you a pizza in 10 minutes. It's terrifying and gross.
I wonder if good.
No, people say that people like Papa John's and so. Or
yeah, I was going to say, literally Papa John's, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Little Caesars. Those are all 10-minute pizzas.
Yep, but those are
Yeah, but there's people doing that.
the dough's pre-made and refrigerated and so forth. Like, I just don't know how the I've seen it. I just don't know exactly how the thing works.
But all the people do is put some sauce down, pre-measured sauce, amount of sauce, pre-measured amount of cheese.
No, it's the grocery control before it gets to that point that I'm worried about.
You just gotta load that up in a machine.
I just want to know how well it's being insulated and all that kind of stuff. That's all I'm worried about. I don't care about the process.
Do you have to take any shots to go there? Like, yeah, immunizations?
I already got those.
What do you take?
I have no idea. It was
they just injected.
Well, they told me it was like 3 months ago.
Here's some super soldier serum. Let's try it. We gave this to Jerry Garcia. Maybe it'll work on him.
He didn't ask any questions. Give him.
Yeah, give him those Keith Richards drugs. Oh my goodness.
Well, did you get like the Godzilla vaccine and stuff like that?
Nope.
Giant monster vaccines. What do they call it?
Kaiju.
The kaiju serum. That's important. Be careful of those kaijus. If you see one, run.
Yes.
Go underground. That's my.
They're all over here now.
Go underground. Or go high or low.
I'm sure they have kaiju up in the subways too. You can't go low. Where can you go? There might be like a worm kaiju.
That's true. Well, you want to go high though, because if they knock the building down.
Well, then you got Rodan. Well, you might be safe high. At least if you're low, stuff could land on you. If you're high.
If you're high, you fall down.
You could get lucky and they could miss your building.
Lucky.
I think I'd still go low.
You'd be in the crotch area of the kaiju.
Yeah, go low. Hide. Or go to the mountains. They don't seem to care about the mountains that much.
Yeah, they don't eat in war either. It's a place to go. Survive in the mountains.
There's ghosts up there. You don't want to do that.
I've been thinking that if I was like in Walking Dead, I would do the mountains.
Ghosts, you don't want them problems.
You never see those zombies attracted to the mountains.
It's too hard.
Yeah, they don't want to. They want to be at the shopping malls and all that stuff. They don't want to be in the mountains.
Yeah, they're not going to climb up a mountain in the hopes that there's some scavenger out there.
Yeah, you might get the Grizzly Adams zombie out there, but
exactly.
that's few and far between.
Zombie bears.
I'd rather deal with a few.
The zombie elk. The you don't want those.
Just go up, find a spring or something, some fresh water. Eat some fungus.
See, that's where you get into trouble.
And that's where Bill's fine because he eats fungus already. He's already prepared.
Yeah, but if it's a zombie fungus, you don't want them problems.
Yeah, you never see that. Now that's another thing that Bill could put in his book. Zombie fungus.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's dangerous out there. I'd be careful if I were you.
So that's what you need to write, is things that people haven't heard of before. Are you typing it right now?
No, yeah, I was...
fungus.
Are you taking notes? Zombie fungus coming to a theater near you.
We figure, would fungus grow on a zombie?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, because like spores and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the zombies come from, is from fungus.
From fungus, and you'll return to fungus. Fungus, zombie fungus.
You'd go to hide from the the zombies up in the mountains and get some kind of weird bacterial infection from drinking the water in the mountain.
die,
your stomach will explode. You'll shit yourself to death.
But what's worse, that or getting eaten by zombies? It's hard to know.
It's hard to know. It depends how the zombie might be instantaneous.
Right.
The other one could be
not fun.
The other one could be long, and you start off with just a little shit, and then all of a sudden you shit in your stomach out, and you die.
Yeah. Well, it's like dysentery, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that, did you say that's like the worst way to die?
I mean, I can imagine there's some worse ways. As far as natural, well, natural enough ways, that's pretty bad. But
see, that's the zombie book you need to write. You would surprise the hell out of everybody.
Because dysentery, that goes on for like a couple of weeks, right? It's not like it's not like it's a couple hours and then you're dead. You're like,
no,
God damn it, it's been a month.
So you write a zombie apocalypse book.
And no one dies from zombies. They just die from all the weird diseases trying to escape.
Trying to escape, yeah.
And they're like, you know what? If we'd have just stayed with the zombies, we'd have been better off in the first place.
This is such a great idea.
This is copywritten now.
It's so original. Copying it by
just
Geek
put that out of the first part. Just put train noises over the beginning of this.
Geek Brunch 8/31/2014 copyright. You can't steal this idea.
It's written down now.
Zombie fungus. Imagine a world where everybody's taken over by zombies. A small group travels to the mountains to avoid this. They die of dysentery. Slow, painful deaths.
They die slow, painful deaths.
One is eaten by a bear, and the other ones shit themselves to death. Parasites and everything. What a great adventure.
Yep, they're trying to escape the unnatural and end up dying from nature.
Yeah.
Zombie fungus coming to you soon. From the makers of Insane Asylum in Space.
That one, yeah. That one's ready to hit soon. I read a post-apocalyptic book. It was very different. It's called Black Acre. Have you read that one, Bill? You probably read the first issue and then forgot about the...
I read the first issue, but I don't remember what it was about. Wait, Black Acre. Is that the one with the like military?
It's the one that starts off in the wall and then ends up outside the wall. Like Black Ops. And then... turns into like a religious nightmare, but it's one of those ones that is a very slow burn, but it's awesome. Like if you do it like a first issue challenge, I don't think it'll pass.
Yeah, I don't think I was all that impressed with it.
But if you,
it wasn't bad though. If I remember, it just didn't grab me.
If you read it all, it's amazing. Like it is so freaking awesome, yeah. I read all 11 or 12 issues of it. It's still not concluded. I don't know if it's ever coming back. But it's really good. It sounds out with, like, Black Ops. There's these people in the wall. They're pretty well-to-do. They have it made. So think of, small utopia around a city. Okay. Like, small city, though. And there's a lot of rich people there, and... they won't let anybody approach the wall. So they keep people, they send Black Ops people in there to keep all of the factions fighting each other so they don't have to worry about them. So they send out one agent to go kill another agent that's been missing for a while. But what they don't know is that they were best friends. And it starts off more military, like one guy fighting a bunch of other mercenaries out there.
Right.
And then it turns into a religious conflict. Like one of the guys they sent out there became like a messiah, like this godlike guy where he has like a religious cult, and he doesn't seem like he's very corrupt, at least not now. But he inherited this cult, and it's one of those cults where you could have like many wives and you have these workers, but they like enslave people and then kill families and stuff just to keep things in what they think is religious order. And anybody that goes against them, they'll kill. But a lot of the times the guy who's in charge he's like naive to everything that some of these people are doing. Well, his best friend comes there, and they're, like, reunited, and he saves them from near death because they're about to execute him. And there's one girl that was kidnapped to be a like a slave or a bride to somebody, and he ends up marry. He said you have to marry her even though she's like 12, but he doesn't. He treats her more like a friend because he's sane, and man, it's just such a good story. I would highly recommend it. Except, man, I hope the story continues.
Includes, yeah. Was it, did they introduce the religion thing in the first issue or not?
I think they did,
remember?
but I think they barely touched on it. And then,
Like right at the end.
yeah, and then on the inside, they have like a weird thing where there's like a lot of politics and intrigue going on, with one guy who owns the Black Mercenaries. Like, the city doesn't even know what he's doing, but then he goes in front like of court and says, "This is what I'm doing, and this is why I'm doing it." And he like becomes a hero, even though he could be hanged. And
Did you say that's in the back matter?
no, that's in the in later on in the story when they delve out, you know, like why he's doing what he's doing. He's basically doing it so they could keep everybody safe inside and segregated. And he doesn't want anybody coming near the wall. And the way he does it is he sends Black Ops essentially out there to keep all of the different tribes at war with each other and hunt down anybody that's in power and just kill them. So, and he's got like transmitters, like communicators to these some of these agents that say, "Hey, you know, this is happening." He knows what's going on from outside because he's got agents out there. But the two guys that are the main characters, they're not working for him. They were at one time, but they're not anymore. It's a good story, and the art is really good. We interviewed the guy on the Valiant podcast, and I didn't even know he had done it, because he's doing a Valiant book now, but. And I had the issues, I just hadn't read them, and I was like, I gotta read these. And at first, I think I was giving them like a 3 to 4 out of 5, but once I got sucked into the story, it was 5 out of 5, man. It became like an addictive, like a slow. Every issue got better and better for me because I started to see how world building it was.
Yeah. Was there a lot of back matter in the first issue? Do you
I
remember?
don't remember because I read the first issue kind of like when you did, I think. Like,
Yeah, back when it
I
came
think we
out.
might have even talked about it, and then I let issues 2 through 12 or whatever the heck sit until now, and then I just read it, and it was really good. There's only, I think there's 2 trades out, and it's 11 issues. It's written by Duffy Boudreau. And the art is by Wendell Calavicinti.
Which guy is doing stuff for Valiant?
A Duffy Boudreau. He did 2 issues of Bloodshot.
Okay.
Bloodshot and the Hardcore.
Cool. Yeah, I only read the first. I didn't get to the trades of that one.
Yeah, there's like Bands of Barbarian, warlords out there, and then there's the tribal cults. And I would say the tribal cults are the scariest because it seems like the leadership doesn't know what the underlings are doing. Like they have these worker guys that are just bald and they abuse their powers against all the other like people, the farmers and stuff like that. They'll like take their daughters, they'll do crazy ass shit and they don't think twice about it. They think it's all okay. It's a bizarre story, but I like it 'cause it's very different than like a zombie type world. And the threat is the same 'cause usually in this post-apocalyptic it's people destroying people, right? They're given a circumstance and it's people just going nuts with the circumstance and killing each other, but that's kind of what this is. And then the guy inside that runs the Black Ops, his wife is a like one of those pretentious bitches that, "Oh, as long as you stay in power, honey, I love you. As long as you keep all this money coming in." But the moment that like when he was on trial, she's like, if anything bad happens, I'm leaving your ass. You know, it's crazy. It's good stuff, though. I think you'd like it, Bill, but I don't think it would ever pass like your initial test for you
screening.
To enjoy it. Yeah.
I'm about to check it out again if I see it.
I think the first trade you'll kind of say, oh, that's kind of world building, and the second trade you'll be so hooked on the characters that you have to see how it comes out.
Yeah. That's a dangerous way to do it, though, because...
Oh, in this market, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're going to lose a lot of people. There's too much stuff out there to risk that. You got to get them early. Got to hook them early.
Yeah.
Got to give them at least something to hook them and then do your before you do your world building.
Mm-hmm.
They'll learn. Especially if they don't have any more issues come out. I don't know how they're saying
that. Well, I think if we came out with the zombie fungus thing in this world, you would introduce the dysentery into not until issue 3.
Well, I'd hint at it. No, I'd have something at the end of the first issue.
You'd have like a deer shit in the river, maybe at the end of the
last
battle or something.
A belly rumble.
A belly. Someone say, "Oh,
it's not feeling good. Don't feel so great."
Oh, excuse me.
I think the opening panel has like this animal just poop in the river, just like just let this thing loose.
And then it runs off, and it gets attacked by zombies.
Yeah, and then on the last panel of the comic, you just have them sitting around the campfire, and this guy's rubbing his stomach. And maybe he cuts one or something like that. That's a cliffhanger to leave the user. What's going on?
What's going on with your stomach, bro?
He says, oh, man, I could have sworn I cooked the water enough.
I don't know. I just took a bath in the river this morning. I kept my mouth closed.
Yeah.
Show him when he's taking a bath, accidentally getting a little...
The thing is, if I was loaded with money, I would put this book out. I would put it out and just to see how it does, because I think I have a lot of original ideas that are very unpredictable. Whether anybody likes it or not, that's the whole catch. But sometimes you got to roll the dice, man. Just let it roll. So anybody read anything else?
I read some stuff. Lots of stuff. And some more stuff. Hey, I read this one. So this was one I ordered online. It's a number 0 comic that was a self-published number 1 comic for a book that's coming out through Image in November. So, which it's actually solicited in this month's previews. So this is The Humans number 0, and Humans number 1 is solicited in previews now. This is a book. It doesn't say what. Oh, it does say. It doesn't say when it takes place. It just says 1969. So it takes place in 1969 in California, and it starts out. There's a bunch of apes. Humanoid apes. I got a visitor. Yes?
You rang?
What? Not yet. I'll tell you when.
There's some cheese crackers in the cabinet.
I'll let you know. I said I'll let you know.
Oh, when?
I'll let you know.
No. Mushrooms.
In approximately 42 seconds.
Tell me. 45 hours. 15 minutes. 15 minutes.
15 minutes? You should have said like 15 minutes and 42 milliseconds.
Should have given them like 1,200 seconds.
Made them figure it out.
Yeah. Do it your own self.
You should have, yeah, just give it to them in how many seconds, and then they have to go exercise their brains.
Opportunity to learn.
Yes.
Work on your math skills.
Or you could have had Micah ask it in Japanese or say it in Japanese and then say it. And then if you could decipher that, then you know what it is.
So what's 15 minutes in Japanese, Micah?
Jugofun.
There you go.
Well, just That's you don't have to call me names. Just tell me what it is.
Jugofun.
You go fool yourself, man.
There you go. Jugofun.
Now we've educated everyone.
Yes, that's what kind of podcast we are. We teach them about viruses and bugs and buying houses and all kinds of shit.
Jugofums.
And jugofums. 15 seconds. 15 minutes.
Minutes. Fums or minutes. So the humans. Yeah, so it's a bunch of monkeys.
Is it the humans apes. Or the inhumans?
The humans.
And humans is spelled like humans.
Yeah, like humans.
And this is from Image?
It's coming out through Image. Number one is in previews right now. Solicited in previews. It's by Keenan Marshall Keller and art by Tom Neely.
You recommend this?
Yeah, it's awesome. So it takes place in 1969. It's basically about a bunch of biker apes, humanoid apes who talk. And on the second panel, they show a naked human working at a gas station, but he's like chained up. So apparently this is a world where the monkeys have risen and taken over, and now people are their slaves.
Like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, like Planet of the Apes, but they're bikers, monkeys. So these biker monkeys... So the humans is their biker gang. They're the humans.
Was this a Kickstarter you bought or something?
No, it was just online.
Oh.
So it starts out this gang called the humans is going to their favorite bar, and when they get there, these other apes are giving trouble to the bar owner and hassling her. So they exact their revenge against this bike gang and show them why they're the badass monkey bike gang. And it's awesome. It's kind of a mix of like 60s, 70s biker type story, like rebel bike type story, and Planet of the Apes. So it's awesome. And there it's awesome too. Tom Neely did, he had a comic back in, probably about, I don't know how many years ago, 5, 8 years ago. I think it was called The Blot or The Spot. I don't remember what it's called exactly. And then he's done, more recently, he did art for that Danzig, Rollins, Hank and, what was it called? Hank and Glenn in Love. And I think he did some stuff for Popeye too.
So are they
anyway,
just going to...
Recommended.
So are they just reprinting the same issue that you have?
No, I don't think so. I think they're... No, because this one was in black and white, and the real one will be in color, but...
No, but is it just... The prequel issue for Humans Zero introduces the three members of the Humans gang.
Yeah. I think the first one's going to be a new story. They'll probably collect... This will probably be in the collection.
Huh. I've been trying not to add new books to my list, but the cover looks really interesting.
If you like 60s bikers and you like Planet of the Apes, if you like humanoid talking apes and humans enslaved humans, then this is your book, which personally I do. So.
You like enslaved humans?
I like enslaved humans. I'm looking forward to when the apes take over.
Well, we could just add that concept to our...
To the zombie movie?
Zombie fungus. Because the guys that go up to the mountains, they're bikers. They're a bunch of bikers. They don't know how to deal in the wilderness. It's
they
like
thought
a
they were
bunch of
badasses.
Sons. They're badasses, but they're out of their element. They never had to deal with parasites entering their system.
Mm-hmm.
They're from the concrete jungle, not the real
jungle.
Yeah,
this is the real. This is the wilderness.
When the concrete jungle meets the real jungle.
Meets the foliage jungle. It's not very badass sounding.
A small band of them try to go down to the city to try to get some Pepto-Bismol or something.
But they get caught by the zombies.
Yeah, they don't survive very well, except for one of them that gets a bottle. And what do they treat that with? Antibiotics, right?
Where are you going to get antibiotics during a zombie apocalypse?
At the pharmacy.
They're going to know what to get. I guess they could get
they just grab them all and they randomly start taking antibiotics. And you know how bad
like
antibiotics,
an allergy test, just fuck all of them up for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you know how bad antibiotics are for you? And they don't even know that they need to take them until completion. They're just like popping antibiotics and it really messes them up, but there's a couple of them that get the right combination and they kill the bug. And that's an issue too.
And they don't know it at the time, but the combination has actually made them
grow hair on
given
their
them
back.
They've given them resistance to the zombie plague. But we don't know that yet.
Yeah, we don't know that. And they don't. They'll never know that. That's what makes it very interesting.
That's why it's so ironic.
Until the last panel where we have the last survivor getting eaten by zombies.
Then he gets bit.
And he's like, nothing's happening. What's going on?
Son of a bitch. I've been living in the jungle.
My friends are crapping their pants.
Everyone's dead.
I don't understand. Vomiting all over the place. And here, all along, these zombies have no effect on me. What's going on?
It's like the Twilight Zone.
And that's how it ends. See, that, man, we're good. We should just quit our jobs and write stories. I think Image would buy this stuff.
I think so.
If one of us could just draw, damn it.
Radical. At least Radical will.
Yeah. Radical's not even around anymore.
God damn, that's right. Aston. Aston will buy it.
When Micah comes back from his manga school, he can draw it.
Yes.
1 year would not be enough to get me able to draw anything.
Well, it is. You'll be studying with the masters, though.
Yeah.
No.
Under their tutelage.
We're being very optimistic about this trip. We're thinking this is our breakthrough so we could quit our jobs and go into anime and comics, Micah. This is happening for all of us.
There's a bit of a oversaturation of the market though, so.
Well, but that's our philosophy. We're going to saturate the shit out of it. We're going to fuck everybody up with our ideas.
Oh, the Image ideas.
Yeah.
Who cares? Make money.
It's all about money. And then we'll make such hits with the first few releases, and then we'll sell it. We'll sell it and then be on the beach with a cocktail, and I don't even drink. With a little plant inside the cocktail. Sitting on the beach.
With your Shirley Temple.
My Shirley Temple. It's almost 15 minutes. I wonder what's going to happen. I'm kind of scared. 15 minutes.
We'll see a notable decrease in internet connectivity.
I think they're going to play the Wii.
In 15 minutes?
Yeah, in 15 minutes. How long has it been?
I don't understand that philosophy. In 15 minutes, you can start. What's the difference if they start now?
It's all about control.
Oh, okay. It's like a parenting thing.
Sure, you could give out, you can give the cracker to the animal. Or you could make it wait 10 minutes and then give it the cracker. Then who's the fucking man now?
I gotta let Barb listen to that before I release this.
These are good parenting tips.
That was awesome.
A cracker?
I don't know where it came from, but it was awesome.
Fungus.
So you have an issue, and it's issue zero of this, because I can't find any existence of what you just read.
Yeah. Here, let me see if they have another website listed in here. Humansforlife.com. What's the matter?
Humansforlife.com? Humans for life.com. I hope this is a legitimate website. Oh, humans number zero. Okay. Order issue zero, $5 retail. Huh. Looks interesting. I imagine Bill's on mute.
Yeah, I got screaming kids in the background. You guys talk. I'll be right back.
Well, I'll talk about a
book. I think. Okay, I'll talk.
Book. How about that? Let me keep
sure.
Things go by. All right. What have I read a bunch of stuff that I don't remember. I wrote a lot of it down. Hold on. Have you read a book called Sundowners?
No, but I know it's by Tim Seeley.
It is by Tim Seeley. It's by Tim Seeley and someone else. Who's my brain? So what it is it's a superhero book, but it's a superhero book about, all right. So the book opens up with someone narrating about how they enjoyed being a superhero. They only plan on doing it one more time before they're going to stop doing it or whatever. And then you meet some squirrely looking dude who is clearly a deadbeat. And a bit of a loser. And what you find out is he runs a sort of like an AA type group, but for superheroes. And I don't know if they're supposed to be quitting or not. I couldn't quite tell. Or if it's just like a support group or what it is. Because it's nothing's explained a whole lot. They just kind of do things. And so, and you meet like six different characters or something like that who are all superheroes. You meet, some girl named like Crowlita or whatever, who I think is a stripper. And is also a part-time superhero to some degree. And some black dude named The Citizen who beats up people for funsies. And then you meet some other lady who doesn't do a whole lot. And then some old dude who may not be a superhero but just wants to come to a meeting because he's lonely or whatever. But anyway, they all tell their story. And then this hack, squirrely dude, writes down like all the symptoms he thinks that all these people have. And then at the end of the book, they are, someone is attacked or not, and things may or may not be real. And I can't tell exactly what's going on.
I like the art style. I'm thumbing through it right now.
Oh, you picked it up?
Yeah, I haven't read it, but it looks interesting. I actually had no idea what it was. I thought you were going to say it's about vampires. I just thought
The name.
The name, yeah. Sundowners. So.
No, it's about, I guess, about people who wear costumes and do things. Like the one girl, I think her power comes from sins, I guess. So she has to do something bad. She has to do like something biblically sinful in order to get her powers or something like that. There's a lot of weird stuff in it, but I'm not entirely certain what's going on anywhere ever, so.
I need to read this one quick, because I didn't pre-order any of the others. I'm trying to cut back, but I want to make sure if I like it or not.
I think you might like it. It didn't do a lot for me, But I think it's just because the first issue is really jumbled.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if it settles into whatever it's going to be. So
I've been using this philosophy of trying not to get a lot of new stuff, and it's working out well because there's not a lot of ongoings that last very long. It really is. I mean, you'd be surprised. It's almost like if you try to lose weight, right? It's like it's like a slow thing, but you make progress, you know, over time.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. And Marvel is just like relaunching a lot of them, so it's like it makes it easy. You know, I'll finish it, and then when it restarts with one, I might not get it again. And it's not because of the stuff I'm not enjoy. I enjoy too much. You know me, Micah. It's more like so I can keep caught up, you know? And I'm not piling up a lot of unread issues. That's what I'm
doing. Let's give you a brief glimpse of what I read this past or whatever. So, let's see. I read Original Sin 1 through something or another. I don't know. Or 0 through something. It's confusing.
And what do you think about that?
I think it's nonsense.
You don't like it?
Not a lot. I think it's too much. I think it's a bit too much.
I can't comment yet. I've only read the 0 issue, which is...
Zero issue?
The 0 issue is kind of like describing more of the Watcher. Like, here's the relationship between the Watcher and Nova, and it's setting up the situation that's going to happen.
I mean, do you know, I'm sure you figured out or heard some of it at least, but like, do you know like what the plot is of the whole thing?
Yeah, I know the plot is the Watcher's murdered on the moon, and by doing this, and the Orb might be involved, which is an old Ghost Rider villain, but I know...
The Orb is definitely involved.
Well, I know that it causes people to see like sins, like in Fantastic Four, like Johnny fucked up a machine that was supposed to turn Ben Grimm to normal just by sitting in it.
Yeah.
He like got the calibration all jacked up, and it's like revealing like sins or hidden things. Maybe not so much sins, but things that people hid from somebody else.
It's all a bunch of secrets that people don't know.
Yeah. So I have the gist of it, and I heard just through various podcasts that a lot is centered around Nick Fury. At least that's what they're saying.
And it pulls the Nick Fury trick. Spoiler, I guess. But if you read any book with Nick Fury and you don't expect everything to happen around like the same Nick Fury tricks that you've been reading since the 1970s, then you don't know what's going on in Marvel Comics. So, but like, It's big and it's involved and honest. I can say this without spoiling anything. My problem with this is the problem I have with a lot of not mystery novels, but a lot of like thrillers and in like things that involve intrigue and secrets is that without giving the reader actual insight into what's going on, it relies on these big secret things, and you have to imagine what the secret is, right? And what could be such a big deal that a character would like stop fighting for good or something, or lose their powers or something like that, right? What secrets could be so whatever? And then a character will whisper a secret to somebody and you won't know what it is. And then they'll be like, oh, I'm fucked up forever. I'm out. And like, that kind of thing is what this whole event is sort of based on. And the thing is that nothing that they say will ever be big enough. And so what they'll do is probably just not say anything, right? And so, but like these characters all have these big melodramatic reactions to whatever is going on. And it's like, if you let yourself go, you can kind of get into it. But it's like we've been reading comics for too long for like Thor having a sister to be enough of a surprise that it would like change how we think of him as a character or whatever, right? And these sort of things happen. It's like, what could these secrets be that would matter, you know, in that big a way?
Yeah.
And so, on the one hand, the part where like Bucky runs around cutting dudes' heads off, it's fine. But like, whenever you get into, whenever it gets near like the climactic moments, it sort of it can't hold. It's a problem with events, is that like all the stuff leading up to it can be awesome, but when it comes time to pay off, it can only pay off so much. So, and it feels like it's setting up for the next issue to be disappointing, is all.
Yeah, I really want to read it for myself because I hear a lot of various opinions on it. Yours seems to be like they're retrofitting some things in there based on these secrets.
Yeah.
In other words, I know the Iron Man Hulk one is like Tony was around during the explosion that turned Hulk into Hulk.
Right.
Wasn't supposed to know about it. But, yeah. I'm so behind in Marvel that it's not a bit funny.
The book itself, though, is like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you have to decide between, not decide between, but like, it depends on, like, how do you want to judge the book? Do you want to judge the book, is like, page by page, are you excited? They kill a planet. There's a spoiler for you. A move that I think was supposed to be a big deal, but I've been reading Jon Stewart comics for too long to care. So, this is what we do over here in DC land. We blow up planets. We kill living planets all the time. So, like, there's no, like, that wasn't a shock at all. But, yeah. Like, but, it's like page to page, is it interesting or exciting at all? Like, at times, yes. But then the mystery, like, if you, cause I haven't read anything outside of just the main Original Sin. I haven't read the Thor and Loki or the Hulk and Iron Man stuff. So I only know what's been going on in the event book itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just reading that, the mystery seems a little clunky at times. And it does a problem where it actually does a decent job of being contained within itself to some degree. Like, without needing to read all the other books. But it does a thing where, like, I don't know if they remembered what they said in Original Sin and what they said in a different book. Because the character will pop up and say something, and I just have no idea what's going on. Like, the thing shows up at one point in time. So I didn't know about the thing with him and
Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I first read a piece. And
that story's going along with Original Sin, but it didn't start off Original Sin, but
it tied everything into it.
It tied in really well. It was like perfect timing because
good timing. Look at that.
Robinson was kind of like doing the deconstruction of the Fantastic Four. So by doing this, he was kind of forming a little bit of a crutch between Reed for not telling him and then with Johnny because he screwed it up. Johnny, though, had no intention of it to be harmful. Do you know what I mean? There was no intent for him. And then the only part that people complain about in that Fantastic Four issue is it flowed really well. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense because if Reed could make this machine to turn him back into, you know, Ben Grimm.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. We got robot-y for a second there.
Oh, I think he made this machine that could turn him back to Ben Grimm. Then why can't he recreate it or recalibrate it? You know, what if...
Yeah.
So Johnny screwed up the recalibration. He's one of the greatest scientific minds in the Marvel Universe. He doesn't know how to recalibrate his machine?
Yeah.
I mean, I took it for a grain of salt and enjoyed the issue for what it
right.
is.
Right.
If you start overanalyzing a lot of this stuff, it doesn't make a hell of a lot.
There's overanalyzing, and then there's
just tweak
that
all the
question.
Just tweak all the settings eventually.
Yeah, that question doesn't seem to be overanalyzing. That question seems to be, why the fuck can't you do this shit properly? But also, okay, Punisher's in it, and I hate Punisher. So there's that. Not that I hate Punisher too much, but like his presence is not needed here. Like he's here purely for dick waving. That's his entire purpose here. Like every panel he's on.
I enjoy the Punisher, but
so do I. He's the world's most successful mass murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not appealing to me. But I like the orb.
I only read the first issue.
Glad he's back.
I don't know how many times I hear you say that.
I liked it though. I'm gonna get it from the library when they collect it.
Oh, it'll be collected. So you don't have to worry about that one. You know that's going to be there.
I know. That's a good thing about the big events is
yep,
the library always gets the big events.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the hardcover solicited in this previews are the last months.
I'm surprised it didn't come out this week when before the next issue comes out. I love when Marvel does that. It makes me the happiest of like ever. Here's the trade. We're not even done with the whole series yet. Enjoy. Okay, then I read Iron Fist. I only got two issues in. I got bored.
Really?
Living Weapon?
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Well, what was your... give us a little more on that.
Okay, so Living Weapon, Danny is... see, I haven't read anything for the past, I don't know, what, 2 years now from, like, what's going on with Iron Fist. And so I come in, Danny is, like, he doesn't own his company or something, and things are going bad, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure what's going on. But anyway, he's, like, talking mean to some reporter lady, and then ends up sleeping with her, and then ninjas attack. And he fights ninjas. We see his mom die from being eaten by wolves, and then he has to go back to, what's it called, Kun Lao, or whatever it is? Magical Iron Fist placed.
Kun Lun?
Kun Lun, yeah, that's what it is. It just seems like I've done this before. It didn't feel very exciting.
What did you think of the art?
I like the art, though.
Okay.
I like the art. Who is? I can't remember who it is now, though.
It's the same guy that writes it. It falls right into Bill's wheelhouse because Bill tends to like guys that write and draw their own stuff. Kian Andrews, maybe?
That sounds right.
Something Andrews, I think.
Was it Carr or whatever?
Kari Andrews?
Yeah.
I tell you, I did not like the art on the Deadly Hand of Kung Fu.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people complain about it, but it didn't bother me.
I just thought, I don't think it matched the tone or something. It just didn't feel altogether right. And I didn't like his fingers.
Well, there's a lot of, you're definitely in the majority of people not liking the art on that.
Didn't like it.
Lot of complaints I heard were, you couldn't tell that he was Asian, at least in the first issue, but I thought I could.
No, you definitely can't. He looks like Peter Parker to me. But he looks like, honestly, there's
but
a
it, but
like
it, but isn't it an Asian who's drawing it?
Well, that isn't, yeah. It's dumb. Art sucks. If art sucks, it sucks. Doesn't matter who's drawing it. I don't like Baraka's in it. Like, there's like that Mortal Kombat character is like one of the villains or whatever.
Yeah.
Cuts him chicken half with his metal blade arms. I don't know. I think when you throw a dude with metal sword arms into your mix, you have to make the choice to either go silly or go go serious. And the book tries to do this weird thing. And metal sword arms, I can't take metal sword arm guy serious. Like, I just can't take Baraka seriously. So,
is it possible to go serious with metal sword arms?
No, but they're trying to.
How you take a shower?
I don't know. You can't take a shower with metal sword arms.
Take them off.
It's really effing impossible.
Then you got no arms.
I read Winter Soldier. I cannot talk anymore. Bitter March.
That one I haven't finished, but I've liked what I've enjoyed.
I got the issue 5. How much more is there?
Well, I only read 1 and 2. I think it's a 5 issue.
It better not be a 5 issue.
Or 6 issue.
I think it is 5 issues. That's a shitty ass ending.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, no, not shitty. It just kind of ends. I don't know. I think they can do better if that's it. But maybe it's not, though. I should check this out.
Well, I liked that it was in the past and it was very pulpy.
It is very pulpy.
Yeah, I like that.
There's a scene in issue 5 where they zoom in on dude's face. It is a 5 issue thing. They zoom in on Bucky's face and the art gets real gross. Like, I don't know what the hell happened. I'll just take a picture of it. But like, the artwork is fine, whatever, but it gets extreme close up and it just looks like a rock face. It's like a crevice of a rock somewhere. Or his face looks like someone's abs. I can't tell.
Hmm.
Like, the whole panel is just Bucky's face. But it could be his face. It could be some abs. It could be a rock. It might be the moon. Who knows? But maybe the ending isn't as bad as I thought it was. But
that's good or not?
Oh, the book is good itself. The ending, I just don't know how I feel about it.
Okay.
And it kind of just falls off a little bit. Let's see, what else did I read? I talked about
Sundowners. Did you read that one, Bill? Micah talked about that while you were away.
No, I haven't read that yet.
I think Bill will like it.
It's a number one.
Yeah, I have it.
I have it too.
I have if it's a number one, I have it.
I would if I was like going through your collection of singles, I would drive me up a wall.
Like, number one, number,
I'm like,
one, number one.
Okay, number it just one. Ends. I don't know where to go now. Damn it.
You're like, where's number two?
Oh, maybe he might have the trade here on the wall. Oh, there's a big gap in issues here because he didn't get this trade. What the hell?
They never collected those issues, so if you don't have this, never know what happened.
I have too much liquid in me. I need to take a 5 minute. Keep talking.
Okay.
Just refresh my memory because I'm taking show notes. So if you mention something I haven't heard. All right. Be back.
All right.
Okay. I read a bunch of books. Now I can't remember most of what I read. I read both Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel, like everything up to current, like from the new starts.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what happens in much about in either of them because they run together for me. Captain Marvel's in space and she does dumb things in space with space people. And I think Gamora shows up and there's a cat and Rucker Raccoon tries to kill her cat. She's like, don't kill my cat. And then I think Miss Marvel is a teenager and is going through teenage problems. It's kind of like Spider-Man, but not quite.
It's Spider-Man, but with a... Was she Indian? I don't remember. Middle Eastern?
I don't remember where she's from.
Middle Eastern teen.
Yeah. Kamala.
Yeah, like, I think I read the first issue of
the
both
first
of
issue?
Yeah.
I read... I'm
intending on getting... I want to read Miss Marvel. I like that one.
Wait, Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel?
I read them both. I don't remember. I can't remember Captain Marvel though.
Captain Marvel's in space. Miss Marvel's on Earth.
Okay.
I think they have too many. I think there's a problem. I hope they don't make any more. I hope DC doesn't make any Marvel books either. So I don't need two Captain Marvels. And I don't need a Miss Marvel or a Mary Marvel or a Captain Marvel Jr.
Well, Miss Marvel has three holds at the library. Apparently, it's popular.
The kids like it. It got a lot of press.
Yeah. Well, it's about teens, so.
Yeah.
They full can relate.
Full of awkward teen comedy. Very much awkward teen comedy. And so, let's see. What else have I read? Oh, God, Dark Reign. I forgot about that. I went to my library website, and the first thing they had for Ms. Marvel was Dark Reign. And that's unfortunate for everybody involved. Let's see. Oh, I lost the page where I put it. Okay, hold on. There's more book. I read Cyclops number one, which I don't remember liking. I didn't write down any opinions on it, though, so now I've forgotten what it's about. I read Grayson.
I'm back.
One. Oh, you missed nothing.
Okay.
I read Grayson number one, where they're turning him into Bucky, I think. I'm not entirely sure what's going on.
You don't know the history behind it?
Nope.
He has to
start at Grayson number one.
Batman is essentially, after the world thinks Grayson's dead.
Mm.
He died in whatever that event was with the Forever Evil.
Forever Evil.
So okay. Everybody thinks he's dead except for Batman. And there's this organization named Spiral that is trying to find out the identities of every superhero, and they're cataloging them. And Batman's worried that nobody can do this mission except for Dick Grayson, so sends him undercover, and that's kind of how Grayson starts off.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how he got there.
It feels very Bucky.
Yeah, it's kind of a 007 take on him, you know?
Yeah. But it's just that, like, it feels...
And he did it kind of unwillingly. Him and Batman fought it out in the cave, which was kind of weird, but he's basically telling Grayson, you need to do this, you need to pretend you're still dead, you need to give up your family and friends for forever and go do this mission. And he reluctantly does it, but he kind of goes kicking and screaming. But I don't blame him. It's like, that's a pretty selfish thing for Bruce to tell him.
Bruce is awful. We know this.
Yeah. To tell one of his sons.
Yeah, but he's a terrible father, so. Like, the worst. And so, yeah, very much a spy book. And I hope that he gets a metal arm when this is all finished. That's my hope for this. I need Batman and Cap to have more parallels. And then I read Nightcrawler, where Kurt has an old girlfriend, but I think she dies, and a bunch of tiny Nightcrawlers show up at one point in time, and that was weird. I think it's a good number of books. That's enough books. But I read a lot of books.
Yeah, you did.
I've had some amazing downtime.
Well, you're not working right now, right?
Correct.
Yeah. How did that work out? Like, was it a you always said that it might surprise them that you're really going. Were they surprised? Or?
Oh, let me tell you how surprised they were. They were so surprised they still haven't hired anybody to replace me yet. That's how surprised they were. So like they're running on a shoestring thing. They hired this one person who wasn't any good, and this is what's amazing about this company. Instead of hiring people before, getting them in, getting them trained, they waited until after I left.
That's because that's like normally the norm, unfortunately.
But it's like
they do it because they how could I. Can I try to absorb it in my existing workforce and work these two people to death?
Yep. The thing is, the problem is they know they can't.
I live this, Micah.
They know. the thing is though, they know they can't do it. Like, they know they already knew, because whenever anyone goes out, whenever anyone whenever one of us goes on vacation, it becomes like all hands on deck. Everyone there is working 50-hour weeks, right? Like,
yeah.
And so they lost two people in the course of 2 weeks, and they did nothing to change, like, you know. So, like, I told them I was leaving. I gave them 2 months of 2 months heads up, which is, I think, more than enough.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like them. Well, I don't like them at all. I just hate their guts. But
That's goodwill.
I gave them 2 months. I'm like, here, guys, I'll be gone. And also, I gave them 2 months of a definite time, but they had, like, 2 years of me being in school and telling them I'm going to be going and trying, like, they knew I applied. They knew, like, you know, so.
And it was coming.
So even if they didn't know the exact date, whatever, they had a time frame more. Like, they had, you know, by the middle to the end of this year, Michael won't be here any longer. So, if they had that going for them. So I tell them that. About a week and a half later, we had one girl in our apartment, and something happened with her family, and so her and her husband had to move out to Michigan, and so she gave them like a month's notice, and so she left 2 weeks before I was leaving, right? But the thing is, they knew, and she did an entry level job, right? So they didn't have to find anybody experienced; they just had to find, like, you know, anybody, because she had no experience in the company, in the industry either. It's like, it's literally like, come in and spend like 3 days learning, and then you can do like a good 70% of it, right? And so instead of hiring someone like the week before she left to get them all trained up, they didn't hire anyone until after she had already left. And so instead of me being able to work and actually get production done, I had to train her. So I had to train her, the other guy who I work with to take over some of my responsibilities. And then for a couple of those days, we were down a second person. And so, like, the last 2 weeks I was there, I worked like 110, 115 hours or whatever of my lap, like, on what should be a victory lap. But instead, I was over there working extra hard because they didn't know what they were doing.
It's a victory lap.
Well, people quit. Well, a lot of people quit. They just go home. They just go to the work and shit on the floor before they leave.
You got
to
wind down.
Yeah, I didn't get the wind down.
That's where you don't give a shit anymore.
I had to do.
What are they gonna do? Fire you?
Exactly. But I was trying to, like, just in case. Well, I just like to keep doors open just in case. Like, I don't need. I'm not ever gonna go back and work there again. The place is awful. But like, yeah, for recommendations and that kind of stuff, I wanted them to think as fondly of me as possible. And so I put in like 100-something hours in those 2 weeks, you know. And everyone's like, you don't seem excited. Like, I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. I worked 13 hours yesterday. I don't have energy for excitement today. They got me, like, one lady there made cupcakes, and I got, like, 4 bags of candy and some donuts and some donut holes and all this stuff. They're like, you don't seem excited about any of this. Like, no, I just want to go to sleep now. I have extra sugar, and I just want to sleep. So, oh, they're in trouble. They're in well, not dire straits, but it's still ramping up towards busy time. The thing is, and the reason, like, this makes it even dumber, that the summer is actually a slow time for the industry because people aren't getting their teeth yanked out in the middle of summer because they don't
care.
They got shit to do, like parties.
They got vacations. They don't
have
to. They want to do it before vacation.
In the teeth.
Nope. So whenever school starts up again, you get people going back to the dentist more often, getting more work done.
That guy that wasn't worth a damn worked on my tooth. Because it had a hole in it. How the hell this stuff's supposed to be able to, like, break metal and shit?
Yeah.
How I got a hole in my freaking permanent crown. How does that happen?
Well, okay. Easy, actually. No matter how strong the material is, if it's thin, it'll break pretty easily, right? And this material, either metal or zirconia or the EMAX stuff they put in there, all that stuff has different breaking point, like different pressures of where it'll break. And
I don't chew on metal, Micah.
No, you don't have to chew on metal.
I don't chew on it.
Your tooth did it. Your metal didn't do it.
It's probably a popcorn kernel.
Yeah. And the thing is, it shouldn't happen, right? The thing is, you need, whenever they go in to prep your tooth down, to put a crown on it, they need to leave you enough space, usually about a millimeter and a half, so they can have material and porcelain on top of that or whatever. So everything will be strong, right? But if they don't give you enough space, then the material, especially like right in the middle of your tooth, is going to be the thinnest because that's where it's supposed to connect with the other side of your mouth. And so whenever you're biting, you're just smashing into that point. And that point is supposed to be thick enough to where nothing will shatter. But if there's no room back there, they'll be very thin. And over time, it'll get worn down and worn down and worn down. And pop, hole.
We need to factor this into our zombie fungus.
I've been thinking about this, and I have all this knowledge about teeth and shit that I can't use for nothing. Like, unless I'm writing the Atom stories, well, right? Like, if I'm going to, like, take over for the Atom or Ant-Man, then I can do it. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
No, we can put this in zombie fungus somehow. Some guy has a crown full of teeth. And I don't know. I just got to think about it for a little bit.
I mean, you can hide things in your crowns.
One guy's teeth hurting so bad because he lost his permanent crown because some guy didn't put it together right.
Yes, the doctor was an
asshole. He has to go back into town.
To find the roaming
doctor. Try to find a dentist.
Hunting down his dentist.
Whatever, just like random roving dentist.
You know how painful teeth is? Like,
yeah.
The nerves in there? Like, if you're in a zombie apocalypse, you don't have a dentist, you are screwed. Mm-hmm. You're going to probably take your own life. It's
bad times.
The nerves in your mouth are like, they'll make you want to blow your brains out. Painful shit. Man, I think all these ideas, man. I just gotta go to drawing school. I gotta learn to draw.
Let Keith draw it for you. He can draw.
I will draw pictures. Any books you want to mention, Bill?
Yeah, I got a couple here. I'll just go through them. A couple Image books. One is Wildfire, number one.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
My Wildfire. Which is a Top Cow book by Matt Hawkins, who did Think Tank. Yeah, Think Tank. He's actually, I think he's like the editor or something. At he's the president and COO of Top Cow, but he's also a writer. He's actually a really good writer. This one's about, and the art is by Linda Sedgwick, who I believe is, what's the dude's name? Stefan Sedgwick.
Yeah.
It's his wife. And her art is very similar to his. So it's the like digital painter style.
Yeah.
This is about, Matt Hawkins' books tend to revolve around science and science-y type topics. This one is kind of, the concept is, what if genetic modification kind of went wrong? And in this case, they're working on a genetic modification to make plants grow faster so that crops are accelerated and they can produce more. And of course, there's a protester during one of the demonstrations, and some of the stuff there that is modified gets into the wild. And then it actually, the opening of the book is actually Los Angeles is on fire because of
who saw the stuff that coming
that escaped. So it's kind of a worst case scenario for genetic modification, but it's really good. And it gets into the science. And then in the back matter, he talks about how some of the science behind it. And he also says he's trying to make it like even handed in terms of how he's dealing with the genetic modification, to show both the positive side and the negative side. So
they don't make comics about genetic modifications that go well.
Yeah, that would be a boring. That'd be a boring comic. Well, it'd be a one shot probably.
We could feed more people. Things seem to be going pretty well. We've cured the hunger problem, so that's nice. Yeah. Fix the ozone. Everything's great. Fantastic. No worries at all. The end.
Yep.
6 pages. Really exciting. Or it could be like 300 pages, like the 9/11 report? That comic book that's way too long.
I don't know which one. I know they did do a 9/11 conspiracy comic.
Oh god, no, not that. No, there's actually like
one based on the report, right?
On the report. That shit's too long. The report was boring, that was boring.
And then I read another Image book, which is also about shit gone wrong in the world. This one is Spread by Justin Jordan, with art by Carl Strom.
I read that one too.
So this one's about, it just starts out that we're in the future and the entire planet is covered in these weird, this red kind of tentacly, spory creatures. And now humanity, they don't say how many people are left, but I'm gathering it's not that many. And the story starts with this one dude who is out in the wild and he finds this accident scene, and then he ends up finding this he sees this woman running from, I guess there's these raiders, so it's kind of like a Mad Max type thing. There's these raider people who are out there trying to get whatever's left and killing people, and there's a woman running with this little baby, and she has a bunch of arrows in her, and the raiders are chasing her, and then this main dude whose name is No.
Oh.
For some reason, No. Because that's why he doesn't talk a lot. He says no a lot.
That's because his parents said no a lot. Wait 15 minutes.
Yeah, said no. 15 more minutes. Can't wait, no. So he ends up taking this baby, and then the baby is possibly the cure to the spread of this stuff. Spread.
It's like Cable.
Like, oh, see, oh, yeah, just like Cable.
It's just like it, actually. I read it and I was like, God damn, this is not very different.
But I liked it. It was well written. And I liked the art, so.
I didn't.
You didn't like it?
No, I'm not continuing with it. I
Mike's saying it harsher. He has to get harsher now.
I'm a 50-50 dude with Justin Jordan. His words don't hit my brain fluently.
Yeah.
I don't absorb Justin Jordan's writing in my brain, and it's not that his stories are bad. It's just the way he writes is it doesn't bode well for me.
Yeah, I actually like this Justin Jordan. I have read some Justin Jordan that I wasn't too hot on.
Like Shadow Man.
Oh God, that was awful.
Oh, that's him, same dude.
Yeah.
Oh.
He also did Luther Strode. Luther Strode was okay. Not great.
I haven't read that, so I owe it to myself to read that.
After Shadow Man, I may never get a book by him again.
But
Shadow Man,
I like Shadow Man. I just this spread was too. This baby has the cure. The thing that makes this book originally, instead of like animals or zombies attacking, it's an actual virus. Like, it's like got
like a fungus.
It's like a fungus that has sentience.
Has lots of eyeballs.
It gives everybody dysentery. But damn it, they stole our idea.
And then I read one other. Oh, two other ones. One that I picked up because. Mike Myers recommended it, and I saw other people recommending it. I don't know if you talked about it on the show at all, Mike. And then Emily Was Gone, number one.
Oh yeah, I like that one. I actually first issue challenged that, and I subscribed.
Yeah, so it's a mystery about this girl Emily who went missing. But there's kind of different parts to it. So there's a retired, he's a cop, right? Is that what he was?
Yeah.
A retired cop who had to retire because he started seeing, everywhere he looks, he sees these demon creatures, like following him around. And to get rid of them, or to deal with it, he just drinks all the time. And then this girl comes to him because she says her friend Emily went missing, and she thinks that this demon creature took her, and she knows the stories about this ex-cop who had to retire from the force because he was seeing demons. So she wants him to, but he doesn't believe they're demons. He thinks that he's just hallucinating. So he's going to investigate this missing girl. And then there was another, then it kind of jumped to this other dude who he's kind of this, white trash guy, him and his girlfriend. But he's started to work as a hitman, but not a very good hitman, but a very graphic hitman. But it was good. I liked it a lot, and the art was interesting. What would you compare the art to, Mike?
I don't know. It's pretty unique.
Yeah, because it's kind of, I guess, like a looser form of almost like a, I don't know, like a Nick Patara or a.
I don't read any books that is this kind of artwork. Nor do I normally gravitate it to it, but I thought the artist was perfect for this story, and
it's definitely like an indie type style.
Good with. The sequential storytelling, like I knew exactly what was happening, what was going on.
Yeah,
and
it was really well told. It was they did a really good job with it, so I liked it.
Cool beans.
And then the last one I read, Enormous Number One, from 215 Inc., which is like a kaiju type book. So there's monsters that have attacked the world. And there was actually a, they did a little movie. Not really a movie, like a short film that's on YouTube you can find. that was really good. And then they've also done it as the comic, and I think they have high hopes for it. But definitely, it's probably the best, one of the best things I've written from read from 215 Inc. And the art was really good too.
It's the only thing you've read from 215 Inc. They don't put out a lot of books. What are you talking about?
I've read other stuff by 215 Inc. I can't remember what, but some number ones. I know I've read some number ones from 215 Inc. They did something I like. Oh, that Black River. That was good. Was that what it was called? Black River, 215. Shit, no results. Well, yeah, Black River. Yeah, Black River was good. Ha, in your face. Yeah, so and apparently this is very popular, too. I think it's doing very well.
It's doing well because of its low print run. You should dump it if you don't like it. Now's the time to sell it. You could probably get $12 for it. $10, $12.
Yeah.
Actually, number 2 and 3 are pretty high too. So it's basically supply and demand, and there's more demand for it than there are copies in print. But the first issue's gone to second print and third print. So that's because nobody buys 215 Inc.
Nope.
I mean, it's very rare for a store to stock it.
Right.
And now they're stocking it because of all the hubbub on eBay and stuff. But the art is really like a popular art style, I would say. It's an attractive book for people that like.
Yeah, if you saw it on the shelf.
Normal art, yeah. I mean, I don't know how to say normal art. Yeah.
No, it's definitely a pro.
More
pro
realistic art. Style than yeah. Than most indie books. Let's just say
sure.
that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they spent some money on the art.
I only have a few more books to add. So Black Acre, I would highly recommend. Matter of fact, I'm going to tweet this guy and say, when the hell's the next stuff coming out? I'm dying to know. I read Batman 66, number 14. I don't normally read this book, but it was a selfie, and I bought the selfie covers. And it was pretty interesting. It was it would fit really well into the TV show because it was like Batman saying, I can't be around all the time to solve these crimes, so I'm going to make a bat robot. And this bat robot's pretty freaking efficient, man, for all these missions. He's able to do stuff that Batman can't do. I mean, the programming was pretty awesome until he meets the Riddler and the Joker and they team up. And they pretty much take that robot down hard. And then Batman comes and saves the day. But it is a fun title if you like the TV show. And it flows in that TV show pretty well. The other book I want to mention is Five Ghosts. Well, there's two more books I want to mention. Five Ghosts from Image Comics. I know we've talked about this in the past. Let me see who the creative team is. I really, my attraction to this book is the pulpish looking art style.
It's Chris Cunningham does the art. It's
awesome. I am addicted to. Very seldom do you see me buy a book just on art, unless it's like Sholi or, I mean, it's like a given if, but this Mooneyham, I don't know what else he's done, but
I don't know if he's done anything else, but he is doing an upcoming Predator series for Dark Horse. I think it was solicited last month.
Wow.
Number one issue. I think it's the same writer, too. I think it's the same team.
I'm not crazy about the Predator property. I like the movies and stuff, but I'm never into the books. But
I'm going to get it just because I want to see the art.
Yeah, I love his pulp style. I mean, Five Ghosts is basically this one guy who has this gem in his chest, I think, and he can draw upon various ghosts like Sherlock Holmes, Robin Hood, Dracula, some samurai guy. And I can't remember who the fifth one is, but he goes on these pulpish adventures, and he's trying to bring back his sister, and I don't think it's his wife. I think it's his sister. And I, the subject matter is pretty cool, but the art is what I think is freaking amazing. Like, I could stare at these panels for a while. I really, really like the art. The story is by Frank J. Barbary. So I'm going to keep going. I've read 1 through 8, and I'll probably finish the rest of it this weekend because I think it only goes up to 12. But there's a couple trades out for it. Story-wise, it's pretty, I don't know, there's not a lot of depth there, but there's a lot of interesting concepts. The writing is good. I enjoy what I read, but the art is fantastic. And then the last one I read was a Kickstarter. It was Dave Dwanch's Cyrus Perkins and the Haunted Taxi Cab. And the premise of this is it's pretty interesting. It's supposed to be an ongoing. This Kickstarter starts off with you getting to know this guy, Cyrus Perkins. He kind of doesn't seem to like his job much. He's like, he's in love with his wife. He's doing his job. But he thinks of himself as like, you know, nobody cares about really what I have to say. I just listen to people as I drive all these people to various things. But he picks up a teenage kid that's bleeding to death, and he tries to drive him to the hospital, and the kid dies. And he's pretty traumatized by it. He's thinking of quitting his job, but he doesn't know what else he's going to do. And he gets back in the taxi cab, even though it's like, has bad memories. The company that owns the taxi cabs can't switch cars with them because they only have like 6 cabs. It's not like yellow cab. So they fix up the back seat, get him in, and he tries to ease back into his job. And he does okay until one night he sees the ghost of that teenage kid in the back of his car. And that's kind of how it ends. So,
is that just a single issue?
It was a single issue. I think it's spawning off an ongoing, though. I don't know if it's coming from Action Lab.
I'm sure.
Or what, but because, you know, Dave is part of Action Lab, so yeah, I'm sure it's coming out there. It hasn't been solicited, I know that. But, yeah, it was a good Kickstarter. It was a good story. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it, because you get to really like the taxicab driver, but you don't get to like know where they're going to go with this haunted taxi. Do you know what I mean? It's like you don't get any kind of idea what the next issue might be
about. Oh, they didn't set up the next issue?
Yeah, they didn't set it up. Other than there's a teenage boy in the back of the taxi.
Oh, okay. So the end was just the reveal of the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A lot of character building, but like no direction on where they might go with this haunted taxi. So let me see if there's anything I wanted to mention. Ooh, another Kickstarter. I like Jungle Girls. I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a thing for like Sheena and all the jungle type character girls, like the Tarzan. Not only do I think they're sexy, but I think they're incredibly interesting. And I kickstarted this thing called Primal the Jungle Warrior. And I really liked it. And I have another issue coming out. The Kickstarter was the first 2 issues. And it's the story isn't that complicated. I like the art style. I don't know who the artist is. Like, it might be his first book. Some panels that he draws are freaking amazing. And then other panels were proportionally, like, different. Like, you know that he's, like, I think he's in a learning process, tweaking some of the panels, like the sizes and stuff. But sometimes he just like nails it. Like it's just like a perfect panel. But it's pretty much this rich guy invading jungle space, which is kind of, you read a Phantom book or you read any of that stuff, it's kind of very similar. And she has to go after him, but she doesn't kill, so that's like her downfall. And she takes out this rich dude, but doesn't kill him. And he hires at the end of issue 1 a bunch of mercenaries to go after her. And so that was Primal the Jungle Warrior. Very entertaining book. I read Dark Engine number 1 and 2. Artistically fucking awesome. Like,
I read the first one.
The story isn't grab me, but man,
no, I didn't like the story.
This is another book that I look at those panels. Sure. I'm gonna buy this book for the art.
The only complaint I had about the art is sometimes it was hard to follow. Like each panel was beautiful, but sometimes I had a hard time following like what was happening.
I didn't have a hard time following. I mean, it's essentially this mystical being that seems to be able to move through the bodies of animals before they die. She's very key to the survival of one of the races that's there.
And she was like created or something, or yeah, conjured up or yeah, something. She's
very mystical and stuff. And you don't. I'm with you on the story. If
it didn't explain anything very well.
Yeah, if the art wasn't like so damn appealing to me, like this, Bill, these are pages that I'd want to own. I mean, there's a couple. It's this cool, sexy looking girl with this huge skull, alligator skull on her head or something. It's crazy. But I love the art. The other book that I got caught up on that I would have probably dropped if I would have not caught up on it, but Deadly Class by Rick Remender. Yeah. I read 2 through 6, and I am fucking hooked, man. Fantastic book.
Yeah,
I
have the trade of that. And yeah, the only reason I picked up the trade is because it was Image does those cheap volume one trades. So.
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. It got me addicted to the main character. Like I want to know what happens from issue to issue, and it got me so addicted that I looked through 5 long boxes to make sure I didn't have the next one that didn't come out. I was like, damn it, I want to read it.
I'll have to bump that one up in my reading pile.
And then I read Sanitarium #2. I know B and Bill read that. And I just want to say it's a very good done-in-one House of the Crazies. I mean, if you've read or watched movies like House of the Crazies or any of those Sanitarium movies, it focuses on individuals that are in this crazy house, Sanitarium. And this one focuses on a doll maker. And it's a very interesting twist. Because they twist it around. They make you think one thing, and then they change it to something else. I lost somebody, I think. Is everybody there? Lost Micah. I'll call him back.
Where do we lose him?
Just now. You didn't hear the hang up?
Yeah.
All right, let me see if my recorder's still working. It's still working. So Sanitarium, I don't know if you picked it up, but...
yeah, I do have it. I just haven't read it yet.
That's another good one. So I read... Man, we haven't recorded in a long time, but there's a lot of... And all the Valiant books, man. The Armor Hunters and stuff has been...
Yeah, I gotta catch... I'm way behind on Valiant. I need to catch up.
Another book that I heard people complain about on my, I run a Facebook group called Dynamite Fan Page or whatever the hell it is. And because I'm a fan of the Dynamite books. And heard one guy complain about it. I said, I better read that to see if I really like it. And I absolutely loved it. It was Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers #1 based on the Kirby creation. Mm-hmm. I got to get the art team. I know Jim Rugg did some of the art. It had 3 art teams on that book. And they are a very independent artist, but they have a very strong Kirby
style. When did that come out? Is it like older or
it's
new?
It's about a month old.
Okay. I must have missed that.
Let me see if I have it in my database. This was one I had to enter. The artist is Nathan Fox. So if you're a Nathan Fox fan, you'll probably love it. Jim Rugg was one of the other artists, and Ulysses Farinas.
Love Ulysses Farinas.
So if you like those artists, you're going to love this book. And
how did I miss this one? Weird.
It is very – the storytelling – the art styles are very different from Kirby, but they are very Kirby-influenced. I won't say they look like Kirby, but if you look at Kirby layouts and his imagination – They are dead
Yeah, you can
on.
tell they
They
use Kirby as a reference.
they can tell that Kirby, they like Kirby. You can tell that from their layouts. So I'd highly recommend it, Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers from Dynamite Entertainment. I'm going to try to call Micah back in. Or is he back?
I'm back.
Okay. So I was just plugging a couple more books, even
I
though
heard.
They're old.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. All right. Do you guys want to move on to movies?
Sure.
All right. What do you guys got? I'll go.
You go.
I watched the new Sin City, which is a box office flop. It made a horrible amount of money, but it is really good. I haven't read the comics of Sin City, but I've watched both movies, and this one I think is just as good as the first one, and it has a lot of reoccurring characters that were in the first movie, and really freaking enjoyed it. It has a cool story with the the guy that's in Don John. I can't think of his name. He's also in Batman, kind
Doesn't
of.
Gordon Levitt?
Yeah, there you go. He plays a character that is related to the senator, and the senator's son was the yellow bastard, if you remember from the first movie.
Yeah.
He had this other illegitimate child from, I guess, a woman, and never took care of him. And this kid comes back into town, and man, he's like a kid that can gamble like nobody's business. Like, he's the luckiest son of a bitch I've ever seen in my life. And he goes into the poker room and gambles against his dad. Like, his whole objective is revenge on his dad. I don't think he knows how he's going to get it, but he like kicks his ass at poker, like takes all of his fucking money. And he doesn't even know he's his son at this time. He's like, you know, by taking my money, I'm going to fucking kill you. And he's like, he tries to get away, but it doesn't work out too well. And, it's a cool revenge story, and the way it ends is really neat. And then it has a good revenge story with Jessica Alba, and the main plot of the story is, I think, The Dame to Kill or something like that is the title of it. And it focuses on that woman that's in 300. She's also in Penny Dreadful. She's like this woman that's really well-to-do, that loves, she's like a black widow. She loves to manipulate men and then have them kill each other. And she goes after this one guy that it kind of backfires on her. But there's like three plots that are intertwined, and Marv is kind of like a side character in each of the stories, which is kind of cool. Good movie. And it's very artistic, and it's cool. I still love the way they do the colors.
Visuals,
like, everything
yeah.
is like visually like comic book backgrounds, and then they'll focus on the woman and her lips are red, but everything else is black and white. They'll put colors in things that they want to stand out, and
right,
it's
like
really
the,
amazing.
Like the comics.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anything else?
I have to look up what I finally did see Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, I say finally, but I saw it about a month ago, but we haven't recorded since then.
What'd you think?
I hate to say it, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I really loved it too.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Everything I was hoping for.
It had a lot of personality, I'll tell you that. And It really did a good job, not so much capturing the characters, because it did morph them from the comic book, but
sure.
It morphed them in such a way that I think it could make you emotionally attached to, like, Star-Lord, like his origin story and stuff, you know? And just the linkage to the music. I mean, he was linked to that music for
a reason. It's probably one of the best jobs I've seen in a long time of linking a soundtrack to the movie.
Oh yeah, it was
like
beautiful.
Making it integral to the movie itself.
Because that's what reminded him of his mom. Like, that was all those songs his mom gave him.
Right. So when a music, when the song started playing, it wasn't just like some background song playing. You actually could connect with it. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was well done. They did a good job.
Yeah. It had funny moments, and it was a band of people that shouldn't be together that came together, like
together.
Different personalities.
It's classic. It's a classic story.
It's a good story, and it's kind of interesting too because they're not all good people. You got a bunch of bounty hunters. You got a woman that kills people. Star-Lord is kind of like a mercenary who'll work for, you know, whoever the highest bidder is to go find artifacts. He's like an Indiana Jones, I think. But it's freaking awesome. And Drax, who's kind of like just a revenge, like, hey, my family's dead. I need to seek revenge. It's a good story. I saw it twice. I saw it this last weekend with my father-in-law, and I loved it. I loved it as much the first time as I did the second time. It was that good.
And yeah, it, I definitely. It even hit me. It's one of the few movies that I would like to see again in the theater. Yeah,
it hit me emotionally again. Like, even though I had already seen it, there's scenes in there I really like. It was a good movie.
What else did I see? That's the only thing I saw in the theater. I did see a couple of movies on DVD. I have to go to my library site and see what I watched.
I saw, Homefront. You guys heard of that?
Is that a movie or a TV show? Oh.
No, it's a movie. It's with the guy that's in Expendables and all those other movies, the car driver. Jason Statham. It's a Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And it circles. He used to be an undercover cop. He went undercover and got these. He was undercover for a long time. And he got this motorcycle gang arrested and a couple of the members killed, including one of the guy's sons. And then he tried to live a quiet life out in the somewhere out in the bayous of Louisiana. I don't know, somewhere where they have boats like those, you know, those air, I forget what they call them, with the big fans in the back. It looks like somewhere in Louisiana, or it could be Atlanta, Georgia, or somewhere in there. But these people just don't welcome him at all. And they pick on his daughter, and he taught his daughter to fight. Like, I mean, badass fight. So, like, when people gang up on her, like the kids in the playground gang up on her, she beats the shit out of them. And the parents are, like, furious, and then it all trickles bad from there. And then the motorcycle gang gets involved and stuff. But it is really... It's on instant streaming, and it was I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. It was a fun movie anyway. A good revenge type movie.
Okay, I found a couple that I watched. I watched Under the Skin, which is a movie starring what's her name?
Give me a movie.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay.
Where she plays a alien who is living in human skin, and she lures dudes into her apartment to kill them.
That sounds pretty cool.
But it's told in a very weird, trippy kind of style, and they don't explain a lot. Like, it's kind of like a indie type thing where, because like when she brings him back to her apartment, it's not like a horror type scene. She takes off her clothes and walks backwards, and then they follow her, and then she's and it's all dark, it's all black in the apartment, and then they slowly start sinking into the floor until they're underwater, like in this black liquid under the floor. It's weird. But if you want to see Scarlett Johansson naked, then this is the movie to do it.
I do. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it in my queue right now.
And the movie itself, it's good. I'm trying to remember. I think the ending was a little weird, but I liked it. It was well done. I enjoyed it. If you like Scarlett Johansson, you'll like it. And it's I like it because it kind of tells an alien story from the perspective of the alien.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, 'cause the whole thing follows her, and you don't really know exactly what. They don't explain a lot of what she's doing or anything, and she doesn't sit around discussing what she's doing. She just kind of does it. So it's very indie. And I also watched Oculus.
Is that a horror movie?
That's a horror movie produced by the WWE, but there's no wrestlers in it, I don't think.
Really?
I didn't know. None that I knew of.
It's a weird move.
But I haven't watched wrestling since like the 80s. So.
I think they like, I don't know, have a silly name, like Kane or whatever, if the lead actor was like See No Evil.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, usually they do. That's why I was surprised. Like at the beginning, it said WWE, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't know it was a WWE movie." But then there was no, yeah, no Kane, no Batista or anything.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy WWE movie.
So this is about a haunted mirror, where. So it starts out. This woman has been searching for this mirror since she was a child, because it's a mirror that when the family got it as a kid, after they got the mirror, her father killed her mother and then killed himself. And she studied the history of this mirror and found out that it had killed other people over the years, and she believes it's haunted. Oh, and so in the cast is Karen Gillian. Really, the only actress that I really knew was Katie Sackhoff.
Karen Gillan was in Doctor Who, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, but I didn't watch that. I think she was the daughter. She's good. All the acting was good. So this movie was really good up until the third act where it fell apart. But up to then, it was really good. Like, they set it up beautifully. They tell the story nicely. But then it just falls apart at the.
Starbucks in it.
Does that mean I would enjoy it?
Yeah, you probably would like
Katie it. Katie Sackhoff. That's Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks.
I would like it, meaning that so it fell apart like the other movie that I like so much, and you thought was shit. So what you're essentially saying is, if it's a shitty movie, Mike will like it, and I gotta check it out.
No, I'm saying it wasn't bad, but since I've studied like writing so much and movie writing so much, it kind of sometimes ruins movies for me because I know how it could have been done and how they should have done it, and where it went wrong. But for a casual viewer, they might like it. They'd probably like it more.
Are you saying I'm a casual viewer? What the
fuck?
Yeah,
you're a casual viewer.
You're actually digging me deeper into the fucking hole. What? If somebody that doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about, you probably enjoy it. But if you like, studied film, you stick your nose in the air when you say this. You pretend this.
That's right. Well, no, what I'm saying is
it's so hard to do. It's
if you know anything about movies, then
damn it! Just be quiet right now, okay?
It's hit on any
say another word.
I don't know. You can see it and see if it falls apart for you. Well, because the ending they told it too much in flashbacks, which I thought slowed. It was weird because they kept jumping from the present to the past to the present to the past to try and explain what was going on, and it just kind of, I don't know, didn't work for me. It was still good, but it could have been a lot better, I think. But the first two thirds were awesome. Awesome. So yeah, if you're a casual viewer, you probably would like it. By casual viewer, I just mean someone who doesn't know anything about movies.
Yeah. Somebody that doesn't know shit.
Doesn't know shit about shit.
This is coming out in October, by the way.
If you like any of the movies that Mike has chosen, then you'll probably enjoy this film.
If you're a casual viewer or smoked a lot of dope.
Cinematically moronic.
I don't have any other movies. Micah, do you have any?
I mean, nothing anywhere close.
You didn't go see Guardians yet?
No, I still haven't seen Guardians yet, but I did watch, I showed a friend who hadn't seen it, I showed a friend Darkon.
Dark who?
Darkon, the movie about the LARPers. The guys do all that
live. Was it the documentary?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I showed them that. That was good.
I think you probably wouldn't like it.
I don't know what this is. What it?
It's a documentary about these nerds who
they're are full of about themselves. And that's all you need to know.
Disillusioned with life, and they're such babies. Like the world sucks, and the only honor I can find is with these LARPing nerds.
People who take like D&D stuff so seriously that it becomes their life.
Like they actually go outside and do the shit. And... Huh. I just wonder. Like,
is that the one with the dark elf?
Yes.
I love the dark elf.
He just like he just sits around all day. It's just like a, I don't know. But like, I wish we had like been able to spend more time with at least one of the people out there who seemed to not give a shit about anything that was going on. Like
the casual LARPers.
Yeah, the ones who don't know anything about LARPing. They showed up for some beer and a good time. And, like so many of these people seem to be so enthralled in the fiction, and you know, there's like somebody out there who's just like. I just wanted to wear a costume and hit people with sticks. But we didn't get to see them. We got to see all these giant babies whining about how nothing is good in the world and all honor is lost. And so I've moved on to D&D where I can restore them.
That's funny how you mentioned LARPing. You mentioned LARPing and I thought of planking. I was like, there's a movie about people that are planking?
I'd watch that shit.
You know, now that we mention this, I wonder if Knutson is
planking right now.
I bet you he would if you gave him a chance to.
I wonder if he has. I bet you he has. He's done everything.
I mean, that's true. Something he hasn't done.
He didn't show up for DC Noise last night.
He didn't? He was drinking to prepare for it.
Well, he said, I'll be there. And even 15 minutes before the show, he said, I need 15 minutes, and he sent us a picture of fish fillet, so I got to finish this fish fillet. And he's like, and then he never showed up. So we were like fucking worried, like, what the fuck? Is he stuck at McDonald's? Or he what
choked on his fish fillet.
Choking on his fish fillet? Like, damn. Wouldn't answer his phone. Oh, well.
Wow.
He's fine, though. He just didn't show up, and he fell asleep.
I watched one other movie. It's called Open Grave.
Oh, that sounds really exciting.
It was actually a really awesome concept that was good but could have been better. Like, the concept is better than the execution of the concept. So it starts out with this guy who wakes up in this grave, this mass grave. So he's surrounded by all these dead people. And he can't remember, he doesn't know how he got there. And he's helped out of this pit and goes to the house and meets these five other people. None of them can remember who they are, what their name is, or how they got here. And slowly you kind of learn who they are, how they got here, and what the situation is. And I don't want to say too much more about it because I don't want to spoil it, but the concept itself is really, really awesome. Like, I'm jealous of whoever came up with the concept.
It was me. I just did it during one episode of Geek Brunch, just like I did earlier.
They are getting attacked by zombie-like creatures when they're in this house, and they go on the run. It's good because they run.
So for somebody that doesn't understand film, I did a good job here with the.
You don't understand.
Well, yeah,
film
you don't have
structure.
To with ideas. You don't. So it's fine for you. You don't have to worry about things like endings. Like that is
a casual viewer that I am.
You're just a casual viewer, Mike. Mike, just let us pretentious people talk about movies.
Let me put my nose up in
those
the
of us who've studied it.
Yes, we've. I went to my room and read a book on film. So obviously I know what I'm talking about.
It was one of those how to study film for dummies.
Film for dummies, yes, film for dummies. Filmmaking for dummies.
On the TV one, I just want to mention one. It's
Step one, put your nose in the air and call everyone casual viewer.
good move. Let's write that down.
I just want to say, if you're not watching The Strain and you are a horror fanatic, you're missing out, because that is a freaking... the scariest TV show I would say ever to be on TV.
Wow.
They do stuff that is normally... not frowned upon, in other words, putting children and animals in danger, and they do some crazy stuff, man.
Do you read the comic?
I do, but I'm behind.
Is it similar? Like, is it following?
The part that I read, yeah, it's very similar. I think Del Toro,
the producer,
must have something to do with it, like approving it, like, because the quality of it for a TV show is really good. Like, the filming, the special effects, the pacing, they do enough to like pace the series, like to give a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then like miss out on a character for an episode, and then they catch up the next episode on that character, and it's just amazing. It's on FX. But I can't tell you the stress that I get in that TV show because of the situations they put kids in, like with their parents that are infected, and it's just...
And stuff actually happens in this one?
Oh my God, it does. It is intense, man. There are things that were hard for me to watch as a dog owner, because they just take it in the direction. I can't imagine if you have kids and you watch this, like, just you not getting tense because parents become infected, and to them, the kids are just food. Mm-hmm. They're not, and you slowly see their mind deteriorate. And as their body morphs, when they turn to these vampires through this virus, it's a mutation of their whole system. Like, their internal organs change. Things just totally flip on the side, and it doesn't even look human anymore. They turn to these beasts, and they infect everything. All it takes is one little, and they have a reach, like the alien monster, except it's at least more of a 6-foot reach, so they can zap you from 6 feet if they see you from their mouths. It's like insane.
That sucks.
Yeah, you're fucked. And
I would go to the. I would head right for the mountains.
They have speed, and this last episode had such a cliffhanger in it. Man, it was good. Holy shit! Even Barb is like, God, I would. We check the DVR and see if there's another episode. There's, you know, sorry, we were watching it as it comes out.
Don't do that. That's silly.
It is an awesome show.
So when I eventually get it from the library, I got be prepared to watch multiple episodes in a row.
Yeah, because if we could, we'd probably sit through three just a night.
Burn through them, yeah.
We'd burn through them. It's that highly addictive.
Awesome.
What, right, Barb? You love The Strain, huh? What do you love about it, dear? Suspense, she says, as she hops along on her one foot.
Tell her to make you a sandwich.
I've turned the guy that was hiking with her into a bad word. Every time I say it, I say, Sturmer! Every time I cuss his name.
I know, I can't believe you pushed her.
Yeah.
Like, that would be funny.
He's like, let's go hiking up a mountain that has like a 90-degree slope.
Race you to the bottom.
You've never done this before. So let's do it. We're not going to even ease it up. We're just going to take you up the hole, and then you can slide all the way down. Don't worry about it. It's like,
We don't need any safety straps for you.
Bastard! It's already like week 5 and she's hobbling around still.
Well, she tried to cut it off. That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do in Baltimore. I have to put rollerblades on her to push.
Get one of those scooters. The broken legs, the broken leg scooters.
I can't leave her around the ice cold water guy, or she'll just stay right there. She'll just plant herself right there.
I think she'll be fine with that.
She probably would be.
Just put her in a wheelchair. You get like preferred access to things.
Yeah.
Front row.
You don't even need the wheelchair. You need sometimes you just need the
foot.
Just the little foot scooter.
Under the dome. That's another one that's gotten better since they got out of the dome. But I'm hooked on that show too. The acting is horrible, but damn it, I enjoy it.
I don't believe it. Well, I finished watching Agents of Atlas. Agents of Atlas season.
Oh, God, I'd rather have Agents of Atlas.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I like it. Screw all of you.
I think anybody that understands TV, Micah.
Yeah, if you understand.
Hate this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. They would
the
hate it.
The complexity of the sub. The subtext is just. Oh.
Well, I've studied television. And I can tell you for certain that Agents of Atlas would have been a better idea for a TV show.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is great, and the last half of the season is awesome. Full of mystery, suspense, action.
Yeah, well, I already know what happened. They blow up Hydra.
I also know because I watched the beginning, middle, and end, and I thought I was fucking horrible.
Don't worry.
The acting is horrible.
Don't worry. You're going to get two S.H.I.E.L.D. shows next year.
Now, that's okay. I'm glad Bill likes it as he sticks his nose in the air.
It is a very highbrow show.
Oh.
It's a great show. Don't
if you understand TV like Bill, you will love this show.
But admittedly, I never studied TV, so I am a casual viewer. Not like Micah, who studied the Japanese TV for years. But well, listeners, don't listen to these guys. It's a wonderful show. Can't wait.
I finished True Blood. Season. That was this season I thought was really good, and then had like a mediocre ending. But at least it ended.
I've been hearing mixed reviews about the last season.
I think the last season was. Wouldn't you say it was pretty entertaining, Barb? They had a lot of good plot threads, except for her werewolf guy dying. She was real upset about that, but. But other than that,
is that sexy guy?
Yeah, the sexy guy that she posts all the nude photos on her wall.
Yeah, I know she clogs up my feed with nude men.
It makes you mad too, Daryl. It pisses off. Like Daryl goes, you know, on his feed and he sees nude men, he like flips out, man.
Well, it makes him feel strange.
Especially if it rises.
Yeah, gives him thoughts he's not comfortable with. It's natural. It's natural to feel that way.
Yeah. I think I read a couple image books that had dick in it, and I thought Bill would enjoy these. It had penis in it.
Yeah, I thought I saw a penis recently.
I think Deadly Class has a penis in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy that trait.
I don't think I've seen the penis yet. Oh, I did read Mythica.
Oh, yeah.
That you sent me.
He wants to be on the show sometime.
The artist?
Yeah, Matt Campbell. He actually, it's his creation, and I think right. he plots it, writers. And then he brings in a writer to do the story.
Yeah. I liked it. It was really good.
Yeah, I like it. It's World War One. It starts off like, okay, there's some supernatural aspect, but then it kind of leads you to think, well, maybe this is like a League of Extraordinary Superheroes in that time frame, or people with abilities. Mm-hmm. And it has the threat of war.
I also thought that the Scottish guy was like in the past or something, but it's actually
yeah, the current.
In the current day, yeah. Or current at the time. Yeah, it was good. And then the issue four has a different writer than the first three.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought the new writer was much better than the old writer.
You know what? There, I had talked to another person who I'm not going to mention because I don't know if they want me to say this, but they said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
In other words, they said Mythica number four, the writing had improved dramatically. I didn't so much notice, but I'm a casual reader.
Yeah, you're a casual reader, so you probably didn't notice. No, it was for me. It was pretty noticeable because there are some. I mean, I'm going to sound like a dick or whatever, but there's some amateur parts to the first three, like in the writing, like some of the dialogue was pretty on the nose, and there was things that some of the scenes could have been handled differently. But the fourth one, it was like, yeah, noticeably.
The fourth
different.
One's a female, right?
Yeah, it was Meg. What was it? Meg Brubaker.
I think I met her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the third one, I was like, whoa, the writing has definitely changed. Even in like her, not only the dialogue, but just the plotting was different too, mm-hmm. the way she executed a scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope she's going to continue on.
Yeah, I wish it was more frequent because I like remember it, but then I have to wait almost a year for the
next one.
The next one, and I mean that being said, I do remember a good portion of it, which is a lot to be said that for the amount of stuff I read. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
I do remember it. I like the time frame that it's in too, because there's not a lot of World War I stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So the main characters are there's a Scottish dude who's like a warrior, and then the main character is a woman. I can't remember what her job is at the beginning.
All I remember is she's got special abilities through her dreams.
Right.
And she's marrying a doctor. There's a doctor that she absolutely loves, and he's going off like much in so like the movie that Keith loves, Legends of the Fall. He wants to help.
Yeah, he's doing a Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, he's doing a Legends of the Fall. I need to leave to help the soldiers on the front line as a medic. You know, right. Like he wants to use his abilities to help those soldiers. And she sees visions of this warrior. So you think that's where Bill says he was in the past and stuff. Because you're thinking, okay, she's seeing these
she's
visions.
She's remembering the past.
She's remembering the past. But what she's really seeing is what's happening.
Right.
And she's seeing these demons and stuff.
Yeah, attacking this warrior.
And there's some linkage to, like, there's a woman in town that looks very much like her.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And this, the Nazi demon guy sends it to, sends killers after her and actually kills her friend and her husband. I mean, or soon to be husband, right? I mean, who's going off to war?
Okay.
And
then there's also another storyline where there's these two spies who are over in Germany, I think.
Yeah, that's cool.
The British spies, I think they are.
Yeah, it's like the James Bond piece, but they're involved in trying to take down the bad guys too. And then
they discover that was it Nazis?
Yeah.
Are involved with these demons or something?
Mm-hmm.
It was good. And the art is... Well, it's interesting because since it comes out so infrequently, you can see the improvement in art each issue where he gets better and better. Like the last issue, the art is real good.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think you could definitely see improvement from issue to issue.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad to begin with either. So.
Yeah. But really, he's local. He's here in Colorado Springs, and you can see him at the comic shops a lot. Like during like Guardians of the Galaxy, he'll be there doing commissions, and
yeah,
he does a lot locally. He's really talented. I wish his book would go to like Image or something. And the reason I wish it would is I wish he'd crank them out a little faster because I want to know. Like I want to.
Yeah,
follow the storyline, yeah. And he does have a webcomic for it, so...
Oh, he does?
You could follow this at mythica.com or whatever that URL is, but, man, I just... I don't want to read comics on the computer. So I sit and wait for the print.
You need a small tablet.
I can read on a tablet. I have an iPad. I don't want to read.
I want a smaller one.
I need a small tablet. I got my phone. That's a pretty small tablet.
No, that's too small.
Yeah, smaller. No, smaller.
You need an old iPhone.
Go chase that varmint, Barb. We don't want squirrels in our yard, too. We already have bunnies, squirrels, and rodents, and all kinds of birds, and this is turning into like a zoo over here.
Dr. Doolittle.
We had a bee infestation.
That's good.
Yeah, and I was. It turned out okay.
Was it the good kind of bees or the bad kind of bees?
It was the bees that don't come back yearly, so it's the good kind. It's hornets, but I keep watching those damn shows with Barb.
Hornets.
Infested. We see infested. Mm. And you see incidents where the bees will build hives inside the walls,
yeah,
and they don't leave and they'll destroy your house, but. In this case, they were getting in through this certain area, and they don't come back. I had a bee expert come and look at them, and he basically bombed them with some pesticide. But it was a scary thing because Barb and I would go to the basement, and we'd see like bees, and it was really weird because they were lethargic. They were like on the ground, not flying around, but they were there. We're like, where are these bees coming from? Why are they so, like, dormant? It's not the time of year for them to be dormant. It's right. Still, there's cold. Still shit blooming and stuff, and there's pollen in the air. And even that bee guy said, that's kind of weird that they're lethargic, but they wear hornets. And we hopefully took care of the situation. I haven't been to the basement today, but I haven't seen any yet.
Oh, you could have mutant hornets down there.
Well, I had one in the toilet upstairs. I had one. We probably had about a total of 8 incidents over the course of a month with bees inside. And I know they weren't coming in on the screen door. You know, they were coming in somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Check out Mythica, Matt Campbell. It's like a very superhero-ish, historical, World War I type team. I think you'll enjoy it. You got anything else to say? Oh, I don't know if I've ever plugged this, but that last issue of Short Stack, Tales of the Superhuman Plumber by Jay Straczynski was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet.
It was awesome. And I got a cool print from that, like, of a tank scene that's in there. But that's another book. Absolutely love it. I remember it, but I have to wait a long time for it.
Yeah, for the next one.
Yeah. And that art style is probably the most unique art style I've ever seen in a comic because it's like a Picasso sequential art. And if you look at it, it's very... Man, it's... Very artistic.
Yeah, people's faces are melting or flipped around.
Flipped on the inside, so you can see the skin. It's very unique.
People turned inside out.
Yeah.
Definitely unique.
Yep. All right. You guys need to say anything else? Micah, you got one more episode in you, or is this it?
I think this is it until I get there.
Maybe we'll force one in before...
Maybe next week I'll be in Wilmington.
Oh, you'll be already Wilmington. Where's that?
North Carolina. That's where my mom is. I'm going to visit my mom, and then do good with that. I'm going to visit my other grandmother up in Mooresville. And so
you're saying your goodbyes.
I mean, I'm not dead.
No, but will you be able to come on the show at least once while you're over there? You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you say you're not dead, but the kaijus.
Caillou's. It's Kaiju, I think. I don't think it's Caillou.
Caillou.
Isn't that like awful like cartoon with the little kid?
Yeah, it's a kid show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They got Caillou over there and Hello Kitty. You could die from... They got people dressed up as Hello Kitties and stuff walking around.
That's happening in Atlanta right now.
They got like little girls dressed up as anime people.
In Atlanta right now.
Dragon Con.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like over there it's Dragon Con every day.
Yeah.
Have you practiced like rubbing up against people in the subway?
No.
You have to play grab ass, Micah.
I think I'm gonna pass on that.
No, you just keep your hands low and do it, because if you don't, then people will be
insulted.
I don't think so.
Mike and I have studied this. We're not casual subway riders.
Bill's an expert in everything. He studies this stuff. I've never seen him like not be an expert. Matter of fact, if listeners need to know about anything
in the world,
anything, Bill will gladly talk to you.
I'll help any casual fan, medium.
He'll help any casual fan become an expert in that particular area.
You can do that by reaching him at bill@comicbooknorth.com or on Twitter at dbm00.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's a good transition.
Good segue.
Yeah.
Good. At Mike Myers Brunch and at @do_what. I'm sure Mike is going to tell us a little bit on some media forum about his adventure over there.
I will.
Where's the best place to keep up to date with your adventures?
There's no way, Facebook, if you can find me. There's no way of knowing until show up and get my internet set up.
And then he'll be posting on Dimes All Day.
I know, dimesallday.com. Dimes All Day.
That probably won't be it.
Facebook, go to Geek Brunch. Leave an iTunes review. It'll make us all happy. Mm-hmm. Why don't you leave us an iTunes review in Japan, and then Micah, when he's out there, can see it.
That would be very interesting.
I still won't have iTunes.
Oh, yeah, because they're linked to credit card, and your credit card is the United States.
Yeah, and I won't be getting a credit card while I'm over there.
But you could. Well, maybe you'll have a friend that has one, and you can see iTunes over there to see if anybody in Japan listens to Geek Brunch.
We'll see.
That would be very interesting.
It'll just be me.
I'm sure we have a huge following in Japan. We talk about anime and manga probably 90% of the show.
And in your pronunciation of kaiju.
Kaiju.
And grab ass in the subway.
And pizza vending machines. They got soup vending machines over there.
I'm getting really hungry, and I shouldn't be.
Well, you haven't eaten in probably 4 hours.
Yeah, but I'm trying to eat a lot less, too. I'm trying to lose some fucking weight here.
Well, trying to eat a lot less isn't going to help you.
Hey, Mike is down several pounds.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just saying that, like, you're still going to be hungry at times.
14 pounds.
That's good.
I got 6 more to lose, and I hit my objective, at least to get where I wanted to be.
I celebrate eating at that hamburger place.
There's plenty more to lose. Well, I got to tell you about my little incident. So just take a second. But
little incident?
I had a CAT scan. I hadn't been able to... I had pain in my stomach area, and I had a CAT scan done. And you have to drink like this.
Mm-hmm.
Barium.
Turd.
Yeah.
But it had the opposite effect on me. It was weird. Is that I had to shit 12 times in the course of 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. And it flushed my system out. The experience itself wasn't weird, except they inject a iodine in your vein. I don't know if you guys have had CAT scans, but they inject another dye into you too, to mm-hmm. get there, to see your blood, to see the flow of the blood throughout your body,
right,
while you're getting the CAT scan. And this thing, it makes your whole body feel warm. My ass felt like it was on fire. I don't know why all the blood veins went to my ass.
Someone's grabbing my ass.
Yeah, I almost felt like Ghost Rider. I was gonna spontaneously combust for at least a minute, and then it goes away. It dissipates. But It has a side effect, the iodine, that I didn't realize, because you're supposed to hydrate, because it's like the doctor said, or the radiologist or whoever's there said, it's a thick thing and you need to flush it out of your kidneys as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. But I drank 2-3 bottles of water, but that wasn't enough. I think they told me to drink at least 8. But I fell asleep. Bad idea. Bad idea.
Oh, no.
After drinking this, because I woke up and I was like shivering. Like my body whole was convulsing. Like I was having a wicked side effect.
Because you're poisoned.
I was freezing. I was freezing. It was like the temperature was like below minus 14. And I was mm-hmm. like, what should I do? I'm going to go lay in the bed for a while. And Barb put like this heated blanket and I was fine. I was heating up. Things were good. But guess what Jackass decided to do? Jackass decided to say, man, you know what would work really good? I'll go into a hot tub and sit in a hot tub. I fucking passed out.
Fall asleep? Oh, no.
Draining the tub.
God damn.
I scared the hell out of Barb because half my body was hanging out of the tub. But it wasn't a pretty naked scene, I'll tell you that. But man, I learned my lesson. I am gonna drink so much water that if I ever have to have a CAT scan again, because I had a weird side effect, and I think it was related to that iodine. But I had never had chills like that. I mean, there's one thing like getting the flu and getting sick and having chills, but my whole body was like, it was just.
So your solution to being dehydrated was to dehydrate yourself?
Yeah, a hot tub. That's what I didn't call. I was a casual.
Okay.
I was a casual. The whole
iodine user.
I was leading up to a point. I was a casual iodine user, and I should have consulted the expert, Bill Bomer. I could have tweeted him and say, hey, I'm on iodine for this CAT scan. What should I do? But I was a casual iodine. He would have said, don't go in the fucking hot tub and dehydrate yourself even worse and steam yourself to death. He would have told me, you'll pass out, you dumbass.
So eventually you flushed all the iodine out?
Yeah, eventually, and I felt fine. But, yeah, that was an experience, my friends.
Mm.
I've had MRIs before. A lot of MRIs on my head, on my knees, on my arms. I have never had a CAT scan, and I think I prefer the MRI, even though you're in a more enclosed area. Just because of all the shit you have to take to get a CAT scan. You have to take more shit. Like, they'll inject stuff into you for MRI, nothing like the stuff they inject into you for a CAT scan. And they make you take that barium, which it says, ooh, it's a vanilla malt. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this thing.
Delicious.
You have to drink a half a bottle every half hour before the incident. And it's not too bad. The taste is, I don't know, it's not good. You know, but it's close to like a vanilla taste. That you can tolerate it, but after your belly starts gurgling because of like the zombie virus that entered my system, it's not pretty.
Zombie fungus.
Yeah, and then the damn lady that's there that's doing my paperwork, I said, where's the bathroom? I just need to know where the bathroom is in case I need to go because I'll shit myself, I told her, because of this stuff. It's making, and she says, I don't know if the doctor would want you to shit yourself because it might mess up your scan. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to be there. And I said, show me where the bathroom is. You know, it's a crazy, but, welcome to Geek Brunch. All right. Well, Micah, say goodbye for a while.
Goodbye until I'm back.
Yes. And Micah, we'll try to, I mean, let us know. We'll send you emails, you know, like when we're going to record, which is usually Sunday, but if you can coordinate something to do at night or.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Maybe we can figure something out.
Special episodes.
Yeah. So have a good trip. We'll definitely talk on the phone before then, but
yeah,
I'll wish you off, and I wish you the best. Your success there depends on me and Bill's careers changing. So
that's true.
We really want to go into the profession of writing zombie ass movies and making insane asylums in space. So
is that our title, Zombie Ass?
No, there's already been a movie called Zombie Ass.
Oh damn!
And Keith made us watch it. This is a zombie virus, or what did we call it? I titled it Zombie Fungus.
Yeah, Zombie Fungus.
Dysentery.
Yeah. We can make those movies happen too.
If you can find some investors over in Japan for us.
That's what I can do.
That would be awesome.
That movie that Zombie Ass whatever was a movie in Japan.
So, they love ass and zombies in Japan.
You can make
you casual.
Just tell us our ideas.
Viewers may not know that, but
I think we have a good ending for the first issue. A good opening and a good ending.
I think so. The middle part we'll figure out later.
Really solid ending, like a cliffhanger. Just the belly gurgling, saying, "Oh, I don't know if I'm feeling so good." To be continued. All right, well, have a good Sunday, and enjoy your Mondays off. You have Monday off, right, Bill?
Yep.
No, Micah has Monday off.
I absolutely have Monday off.
All right, enjoy yourself. See, this is actually, you actually get one extra day of not working. That's a good thing.
It is a good
agreed
thing.
Yeah, take it easy, guys. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.